Good morning and welcome to a special meeting of the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. This is Thursday, December 3rd, 2015, 9 a.m. Let the record reflect that we're calling the meeting to order at about 6 minutes after 9. We will at this time open, looking to the left and right, we are short just a couple of board members for the community at large position. We do have a vacancy now, and I'm sure that the city will be opening up that vacancy soon for the TBID Advisory Board, which mirrors this Tourism Bureau Board, for a citizen at large. So if any folks are interested in marketing out there, this might be a fun board for you to come and make an application. Go talk to the city of Morro Bay about, located at 595, is that Shasta? Shasta Street, right? 850 Shasta, that's City Hall. Our office is, if you want to speak to Brent Haugen, the Director of Tourism, about the board responsibilities, then 850 Shasta. But if you'd like to apply at the city, it's 595 Shasta, isn't it? Harbor. Oh, it's on Harbor Street. It's across the street from the library. Okay, so we are missing Michelle Hawke as our chair today. She is away on business. And Member Beeman will be here shortly. Great. So the rest of us are here. Let the record reflect that. We'll open up for public comment. Seeing no members of the audience stepping forward, we will close public comment, and we will look for the approval of minutes from the... I got to pull the date, sorry. From the Thursday, October 8, 2015 meeting. The minutes were supplied, and I know, you know, Todd and Aaron are coming in kind of on the back end of this, and it's tough to just kind of read through them. I saw, just for your information, gentlemen, I saw nothing that needed to be corrected in terms of me looking them over with a fine-tooth comb, but I'm not sure. Taylor, did you see anything?
It was all good. Can I make a motion?
Sure. Let's take the motion.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second that. And we'll move to any discussion on that? No? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries, 4-0. And we'll move to the treasurer's report. And good morning, Taylor Newton, the treasurer.
Good morning. All right, treasurer's report. Let's see here. So revenue. Revenues are trending normally, but are a bit sluggish as we are going into the low season. The Bureau received the deposit check back from the landlord for the visitor's center location in the total of $1,500. This will be added to the amount for the visitor's center balance. Number two, visitor's center. There is a remaining balance of $4,734.29 left in the visitor's center funding. Our accountant will be closing out the account and giving final financials to this board and the city in January. After this expense, there should be an estimated $3,734.29 left over, in which a check will be processed to the city of Morro Bay. Number three, under Tourism Bureau, these are the areas trending high. Insurance, this is the liability insurance for the remainder of our fiscal year. Utilities, it has been a bit cooler this year. And we are seeing a higher expense in heating. Computer and communications, as stated in previous meetings, we needed to fix the issue of Wi-Fi connectivity in the back office. It is 2015. This has been resolved. Under destination marketing, fulfillment is higher due to the higher demand of our visitor guide and increased postage expense. Other than these items, the Bureau is trending normal with its spending. Thank you.
Thank you, Taylor. We'll accept your report for file unless anybody has any questions for Taylor or Brent regarding those. Go ahead.
No questions.
No questions.
Quick question on the visitor center. We came in a little under budget.
That we did.
About $3,000 under budget.
Correct, correct. And then we received the $1,500 deposit back from the landlord. Our accountant does want to close everything out, and so there will be an expense related to that. And so once that is all done and final financials are complete, we should be, again, processing a check for about $3,700 to the city of Morro Bay.
That's terrific. Okay, great. Love it when we're under budget. but we still get things done. Okay. Terrific. Then we'll accept that report for file. And we'll move on to the election of secretary for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. Let me just ask the board, do we want to wait until we have a full board? Member Hawkes is already the chair of the board, just as an FYI, so that you know what who's in positions where. Member Hawkes is the chair of the board. I'm currently the vice chair. Member Newton is the treasurer. We have a blank on secretary. I term off the board in January, and I meaning after the January meeting, I won't be here. So we'll also have the vice chair position open. I think we can make it through the month without a secretary if we want to postpone this and then just do the elections together. And you'll have, you know, everyone that you can select from. That would be what I would recommend to you. And plus you'd have Michelle and Jane here who, you know, are important to your decision making in the future. So, sure. Make a motion.
Make a motion to postpone the election for secretary until next month when we also will be doing the election for other positions. I'll second that motion.
Okay. I have a question for the board. Would you be waiting for February? And that's actually would be the first meeting where Charlie at the Inn at Morro Bay would actually be his first meeting.
I think that would be great for the group, but I don't want to speak for them.
I think postponing for Charlie to join us, and that's when we essentially will look at a full flush board and maybe distributing labor appropriately at that point. Can we get by that long, though?
I'd like to make an adjustment to my motion. I'd like to change it to February instead of January.
I would like to make an adjustment to my second and change it to February with Taylor.
Great. I love how everybody gets along. Okay, great. Any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. Okay. Budget subcommittee meeting. Scheduling of a meeting to review incoming revenue and unbudgeted expenses related to Amgen and the Outdoor Writers Association of California 2016 conference. And for that, I will say finally, good morning, Morro Bay Tourism Bureau staff. Good morning, Brent. Happy holidays, Catherine. Welcome. And we'll turn it over to Brent.
Yes. Last year, we typically try to do a budget, a mid-year review budget in November. Unfortunately, November came and went very quickly. What I'd love to do is to actually have a budget subcommittee and some volunteers from the board to help review the budget, review the revenues that are coming in, estimate where we're going to be at the end of the year. It was actually very helpful because for this last fiscal year, we were just short. We're just shy of close to $25,000, where it actually finally came in. We were $25,000 above, but we were, after doing the mid-year review, we were just really that close as far as like our estimation for the end of the year. There are some, you know, expenses that were not budgeted for this year, so definitely want to take a look at that and look at where we can actually do some adjustments with the budget. We want to see where the revenues are coming in because the board had estimated that we were going to look at about a 12% increase in revenue over last year. Revenues are not coming in as strong, so I definitely want to take a look at that and just make sure that we are cognizant of, you know, what could happen, you know, with this El Nino year. We might see a decrease starting in February. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of unknowns that are out there. So would definitely love some assistance from the board to sit down, look at the budget, look at the revenues, and see how we want to estimate the end of the year. As a part of this, it's very important for us to be able to communicate, or for myself to communicate this to our agencies, because our marketing and PR agency, they're basing the number off of what we're estimating prior to the start of this fiscal year. It's also very helpful for us to give them an estimation. If we have to decrease programs, increase programs, it's always helpful if we can increase programs. But if we do have to decrease and be a little bit more conservative, I would like to tell them now versus, you know, waiting until close to the end of the year and saying, sorry, our budget is running out. So
we're looking for a budget subcommittee.
Correct.
Okay. And so from somebody who's been, I'll give you gentlemen a little bit of advice, from somebody who's been on the board for a couple of years, it would be my strong recommendation to you all that you place the treasurer, probably the chair or vice chair, and since you're going to be blank of a vice chair who will be sitting on throughout the year, it would be the chair or the vice chair, because they're check signers, so anyone who would be a check signer would probably want to be involved in understanding what was going on with the budgeting and the real movement that goes on. So I would say your treasurer, your chair, vice chair, and one other floating member from your board who's probably not a signer for a checks and balances type thing. So that's what I would do, but it's up to you all. And I'm not sure if the three of you have interest in doing it, that would, you know, that would solve it right there, because you have, you are a signer, am I correct, on the account? So you would have someone who had, you know, is a signer and would want to have a set of eyes on it there. So it's up to you. Up for discussion.
Yep. I'll clarifying here as I'm becoming oriented with the Brown Act. Mm-hmm. Does a subcommittee then has to be less than 50% of our members, or is
correct? It needs to be less than a quorum, so it would have less to be three or less,
okay,
to be a subcommittee. Obviously, it can't be a subcommittee of one.
Right.
That's dictatorship. But three or less, and then you make recommendations to the board, and the board usually just, you know, adopts them with little minor change or no change at all.
At what point, Brent, do you consider it prudent to get the subcommittee put together? And start
we would actually still be meeting this month. I'm actually going to be gone the 8th through the 15th, so it would be right. Any time after the 15th of December.
And this is to analyze the next coming fiscal year's budget, or to look at the second half of this year?
This fiscal year's budget, just okay, to, again, kind of see where expenses and revenues are actually coming in.
Okay.
And we can kind of base it off of what we've been seeing thus far with how revenues have been tracking. And then we do have some unexpected expenses that we have to take a look at, and where we're going to be taking those dollars out of the budget, and what programs that we might be cutting.
Because I've noticed on the last trailing 4 months of STAR reports, there has been a slight month comparison of 14 to 15, a decline in revenues for the North Coast and Morro Bay. So we're starting to feel that.
Yeah, we have been up pretty much every month, but not as strong as what we have been in the past. So just really do need to take a look at that and just make sure that we're estimating revenues where they need to be at versus where we estimated them earlier, prior to this fiscal year.
Understood. Thank you.
Taylor?
Yeah, I would think that having the treasurer on that subcommittee would be important, and currently I am the treasurer, so I would volunteer to be on that committee. I'd really like to have you, Aaron, on that committee. I know that you have some experience with brokering. I believe that word has to do with numbers and money.
It does. Very catchy.
Thank you. So I would love to see you and I on that.
I would love to join you on that.
I mean, but two's enough. If we want to add a third, I'm totally open to that. That would be our max. But
Jane, did you suggest that a chair or the vice chair should be part of that committee?
I'm suggesting that it's always good for the chair to be on the budget subcommittee, and because the chair, it's like the bureau is like an octopus. It has all these arms that go out, and the chair helps everyone gather all the information in and set the agendas and keep things moving. So it's
wheel.
Good for them to know really deep down what is going on with the finances. I mean, that's just, it's good business practice for, you know, the president, the CFO, you know how this works.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I don't want to volunteer Michelle for anything, but I know that she would be highly interested, from knowing her personally, I know that she would be highly interested in being on that. And I think we could set the committee with the two of you, and we can ask Michelle, I can send her a note later today and let her know what the conversation was and ask her to get back to, or Brent can send her a note so that we keep the fourth person out of it. Brent can send her a note and ask her to join.
And she was on the budget subcommittee last year, so.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she'd be interested. Okay, so I make a motion that we, excuse me, I apologize, Todd?
Hot mic. Okay, that's fine with me. It sounds like Michelle should be part of it. She has the connections and the history. I'm one of the new guys, so. Sounds like she would be a stronger member anyway, so that's fine with me.
You're comfortable.
I'm comfortable with that, yes. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to skip you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, then I'll make a motion that we create a budget subcommittee for the remainder of this fiscal year to keep the finances moving forward. The subcommittee will be Aaron Graves, Taylor Newton, and the possibility of a third member being the chair, Michelle Hawkes. Is there a second?
I second that motion.
Is there any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you very much.
And just to let you know, too, is that once you guys make those recommendations will also go to city and city council, just to let them know if there's any type of budget change or revenue change that we're expecting. So just FYI.
Thank you, Brent.
Okay, and now we are moving on to number 7, which is the Amgen. Couldn't get that out. Amgen and the OWAC, which is the Outdoor Writers Association Conference 2016 updates. Updates and progress reports from the City of Morro Bay and the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau staff. And for this, obviously, since we're being updated by staff, I'll turn it over to staff.
Well, just to let you know, Sam, unfortunately, was not able to be at the meeting today, but he is going to be providing any updates on Amgen to us, and we can get any written information out to you guys as far as that. I'm going to actually hand it over to Aaron because Aaron has been working a lot specifically for the rooms for Amgen, and I'm going to have him give you a little bit of an update on that.
Okay. Well, good morning, by the way.
good morning.
Most of the contracts are in place. We're working through a few bugs with a few hotels where there's some communication issues, just getting things in place. But Elaine, who's the representative for Amgen, did a site tour of all the hotels and visited us a couple weeks back and was able to connect with a few hoteliers. It was kind of a last-minute meeting, but I know she made it out to a few properties. And those contracts are in place. Right now we're sitting at about 500 rooms is how many rooms they're using. The last conversation I had with her, they're looking at probably expanding that, probably picking up maybe another 100. So that's kind of where we're sitting at it with it right now. They have a film crew that's coming in on the 12th, 12-12. They're going to be coming in to film the actual route. And that's about it with Amgen. So everything's pretty much in place, and we're just kind of waiting. So.
Also talking a little bit about Amgen, there was a meeting with the City of Morro Bay to discuss the route. Unfortunately, you know, we have to keep that all confidential because we don't want that information to get out to any of the team members, but it was nice to be able to sit around the table and discuss what that route looked like. The city wants to help maximize the exposure for the City of Morro Bay along with the businesses, et cetera. They had input from Red Davis, who is with one of the bicycle clubs here in Morro Bay as well as the county. The Chamber of Commerce was represented as well as the Tourism Bureau. So we all had an opportunity to give our insight and input. And so Rob Livick had actually put together 7 different routes for the City of Morro Bay. Some great routes that were provided to us for review. We did end up looking at 2 different routes, and we decided to combine 2 of the routes. We liked some aspects of one route, and we liked aspects of the other route, so they were able to expand that. Routes will actually be announced by Amgen, but again, it does have to stay confidential because they don't want to have any team members have any influence or the ability to do the route and to have a little bit more of a winning chance as far as like for Amgen. But it's going to be very exciting for the city. It's going to be very exciting for the Morro Bay businesses. And so there's a lot of really great thought as far as like the route for Amgen. Moving on, as far as like the for the Outdoor Writers Association of California, we have had some meetings with some local folks here as far as like doing some of the plans for tours. We've also discussed a little bit about some things with the hosting. Our main goal and focus right now is focusing in on the tours for the media that will be coming in for OAC. thus far, we have Central Coast Outdoors, John Flaherty. We're working with him. We're also working with the Morro Bay Estuary Center. They're going to be putting together a tour, and then we have some other tours that we actually hosted in 2012 that we're going to be tweaking and elevating. One of the biggest themes that we're looking at trying to do is to have a more personalized feel to a lot of the tours. What we found from some of the previous conferences that a lot of the generic tours have not been going over all that well in other host cities, and so we definitely want to make sure that it's something a little bit more specialized. So we're very excited. Unfortunately, we did have to cancel yesterday's meeting because I was actually out ill, but we're going to plan on reinstating a meeting yet for this month and get you guys some additional updates on that. But there's some really exciting tours for the media going to be happening here in Morro Bay. Expanding beyond that, we're actually going to be taking what Savor the Central Coast has actually done with the adventure tours, and we're going to be going out and trying to find sponsors outside of the area. So if there's any tours that are going to be outside of Morro Bay, we're going to see if we can get them to be a sponsorship to help offset some of the costs for OAC. Because currently the board has approved a $20,000 set aside to help pay for some of the rooms as well as some of the tours as well. So we're going to try to recoup as much of those costs as possible. Does anybody have any questions as far as like Amgen or the Outdoor Writers?
Question on Outdoor Writers then.
Yes.
Is this a, what is the timeline on this event? Is this extended over a length of time? Is it one weekend?
The Outdoor Writers will actually happen in October of 2016. It'll be October 2nd through the 4th. There can actually be some pre-conference activities and also some post-conference activities. And so that's going to be a part of some of the sponsorship that we're going to be reaching out. The majority of the tours will actually happen on Tuesday, on the 4th. The board actually comes in on Sunday the 2nd, and then they have their meetings. And then on the 3rd is when the rest of the, basically the rest of the association comes in. Plus they do invite some other other groups to come in as well, like the Bay Area Travel Writers. And so they will have like different workshops, and it'll be more the inside workshops, meetings, get-togethers, conversations, discussions that will happen on that Monday. And then that Tuesday, there will be tours that will happen in the morning as well as tours happening in the afternoon. And typically what they've had in the past have been they've been offered 12 different types of tours, and so we do have quite the feat to, you know, flu brain here. We have a lot to get done, but fortunately we've had some really successful tours in the past. Again, we're looking at tweaking and elevating and changing slightly, so which is great. And having Tom Wilmer, who is a travel writer, he's also on the board of directors for OAC, as well as the Bay Area Travel Writers, he's giving us a lot of insight as far as like what their members are looking for as well. We just don't want to have that generic. We really wanted to have that personalization that says Morro Bay. So we're really excited about their group coming in.
That is exciting. Now, do they experience other towns in the county or work with the
They
the
do,
TMD
and,
as well?
And that's actually will be a part of the sponsorship. So say, for example, if Paso Robles wants to host, you know, a tour, that would be a paid sponsorship if the city of San Luis Obispo would also want to do that as well. So we're actually going to be reaching out to our constituents throughout the county. We do have Kylie Jefferson, who is actually on our committee. And she's with Visit San Luis Obispo County. So we're also trying to get the county involved and to help out with that as well. And she's really been a fantastic resource as far as connecting us with different individuals throughout the county. For example, we do want to do a photography tour. It happened in 2012, and she actually had recommended a photographer. And Aaron also knows the same photographer, and so we're hoping to get her on board to be able to provide that photography tour in Morro Bay, and then it might extend outside of Morro Bay a little bit as well.
Then are we the official host city?
We are the official host. It will be held at the Inn at Morro Bay.
Lovely.
Yep. And we did this strategically because it's actually happening the day after the Harbor Festival, so we're doing it so we can do some pre-conference activities during the Harbor Festival on October 1st. And so it'll give reasons, you know, for the participants as well as their spouses or significant others to come in as well to experience a vacation.
So, a solid four-day Morro Bay experience.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Amazing. Very exciting. Thank you, Brent.
Any other questions?
Yes. So hearing all that, I think it's phenomenal how we are at the point in our business that we are reaching out to other partners in the county and asking them to come in as sponsors to the great things that we're doing here. I think that's a testament to staff's ability to really dig deep to come up with some creative ways to not only leverage our dollars but leverage our partners out in the county as well. I mean, the Outdoor Writers Conference, the fact that we're like our city is the host city and we're able to branch out into the county. There's so much in this county that we're able to expose. I mean, it's fantastic. So great, great work, great plans, a lot of work to lift something like that. So really appreciate that for the community, for the business community, for the hoteliers. Quick question on Amgen. Do we know that, I know, unfortunately, Sam couldn't be here, but do we know if they've hired, I know he was talking about hiring an events coordinator for that to coordinate the Amgen tour?
I don't have that information as of yet, but I can definitely reach out to him and find out if they've done that thus far.
Yeah,
I know that they have requested, we're basically handling a lot of the hospitality. When you look at the description as far as like hospitality, it basically is the rooms. And so we're handling that and we're doing that part of the role for Amgen. So, and there's other things that we're also doing as well as far as like some of the media outreach. So it's
there's a lot of F&B though.
Correct.
I mean, there's a ton of F&B in there.
I know that that's the city is actually handling that portion for the teams.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I just wondered how that was moving forward. Any other questions for Brent or the team over there? No. Terrific. Thank you. Thanks for the update. Great work. Let's see, we are moving on to number 8, the final marketing and PR company candidates and the next steps. The board will review the final 5 companies and decide which companies will present at the January 2016 board meeting. So before we get into this, I just want to mention, that at our last TBID meeting, Mr. Taylor from the city, the deputy city manager, mentioned that we should not be entering into any contracts. And we had a conversation where he explained what he meant by that. That's not to say that we can't place any advertising because each ad that we place is actually a contract. All that work is contract. He actually used the marketing firm as an example. I don't know if you all recall that. he said, just don't enter into any year-long contracts with the marketing firm. So here we are now with this item, the final marketing and PR candidates and the next steps. So what I think we can do here is review what was placed before us. We can't, because we don't know what the city of Morro Bay is going to do in January. We don't know that they're going to, for sure, we don't have a for sure that they're going to take tourism in-house and restructure and, you know, delete the tourism bureau and that kind of thing. So we don't, you know, not knowing that, we can't hold business up either, because we need to make decisions on whether we're, who we're going to use as a marketing firm. So it would be my recommendation to the board that we continue to move, because I had some questions asked me on, you know, shouldn't we not be doing this? And so we could, what we can do is it's move forward and make a recommendation for three to hear these three. And we have a choice. We can either hear them in January, or we can wait and put it off until February after the January decision by City Council. So we could take our time now and narrow, and then we could, either way, I guess, make a recommendation to the City of Morro Bay that we've vetted candidates, that because it's the same board of directors. The TBID Advisory Board and the Board of Directors here will be mirroring, and you all could make a recommendation to the city that you'd like to see those three. Now, the city will likely have to do a new RFP and all that kind of stuff and go through their process, but so go ahead, everyone.
Okay, so I've got my MBTB hat on right now, and I know that during this City of Morro Bay discussions we've been having over the last 6 months or so, it's been clear, it's been presented very clearly to me that I wear two hats. And with my MBTB hat on, my Morro Bay Tourism Bureau hat on, I believe I'm working for the TBID, is the way I understand it. So as far as my position here today and what I'm thinking about and how I'm speaking, it's business as usual, and what the City of Morro Bay wants to do, that has nothing to do with what I'm doing here today. So it's time to make some money and keep on moving, and I'm ready to do number 8 and proceed forward.
I would like to give a little bit of a background, you know, prior to the discussion. There were actually 13 different companies that actually provided proposals. Mm-hmm. I narrowed it down to the top 5. Currently, I know this has been a question via email. Todd and I have been corresponding back and forth because he wanted some clarification. I think it's great that, you know, to get that clarification. Currently, we work with two different agencies. We have one that does our marketing, which is Verdin, and we also have a separate PR agency, which is Mental Marketing. And so in putting this process together, I had proposed for us to do infuse this policy that we would go out to RFP every 2 years, stay fresh, new, make sure that we're staying ahead of trends, making sure that we have agency or agencies that are going to help move the needle, because ultimately this is an investment. And having this investment, we want to make sure, again, we're staying fresh. We want to make sure that you don't always get complacent. It's easy to, you know, get very complacent when it comes to agencies. And so I always just really want to make sure that we're staying, you know, ahead of the ball game here. So out of the agencies that we have three that actually went for both marketing and PR, and that was Hospitality Marketing, Associates, Mental Marketing, and Verdin. So those were the three that actually went for both marketing and PR. We had one agency, Fresh Buzz Media, that went specifically for marketing only, and then we had Black Ink that went for PR. All of them come in with really great strengths in different areas. Mental Marketing and Verdin, they have a relationship with us. That's definitely a strength, and they have strengths when it comes to what they can do and what they have done for our organization. Mental Marketing has done a phenomenal job for us in PR. Can they always do a better job? Of course they can. Verdin Vernon has done a really phenomenal job for us in the digital marketing world. Can they always do better for us in some of the other areas? Of course they can, because there's areas in where that they really could improve, but it's not anything enough to like yank them from doing the job that they're doing currently. Hospitality Marketing Associates, they have done marketing for Monterey. They specialize in destination marketing, and they have been for a number of years. They've won a number of awards, and their strength also comes in very much in the digital space, digital and web. And that's something that has always been an area that this board has really wanted us to focus in on, because our website has been, that's our 24/7 marketing that's out there. As far as like Fresh Buzz Media, they also have a lot of experience working with destinations here, especially on the Central Coast. They're very familiar with Morro Bay. Judith Cohen, who is one of the representatives, she's very, very familiar with this general area, has worked with a lot of the unincorporated areas with Cayucas and Cambria, etc. What excites me about Black Ink, which is the one that has gone for just PR, Jean Sullivan has worked with Visit San Luis Obispo County, but she has a very, very strong relationship with Visit California. And she is very influential as far as like being at the show at IPW, which is the international, it's more international travel. She's been on the planning committee. She's been involved with connecting with media there. So there's a lot of exciting components. And so that's why I'm actually coming to you guys to help narrow this down, because to me, it would be great to have one agency that can do it all. But we don't have to. It's not a necessity to do that. I would love to see that, because I see sometimes a little bit of disconnect in between the marketing and PR, which I always try to connect those two together. But we can keep them separate, or we can again have one agency do the whole ball of wax. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of insight on how I selected these specific companies, because again, they come in with some really phenomenal strengths. And so I think any of these companies, if you were to actually give them the piece of business, I'd probably say only one company I would probably say I would pull out from having them do both the marketing and the PR. But I'd really love to hear the discussion amongst the board before I would basically kind of indicate which company that would be.
So, thank you, first of all. And Todd, I'm going to turn to you, because I feel like Taylor feels, but I wanted to hear how you feel about continuing forward.
Okay, thank you. So Verdin and Mental Marketing have both been with us for a while. The RFP went out for $315,000 for the marketing budget and $80,000 for the PR budget. Right. And Mental Marketing, their RFP came in and they said $476,000. So they're shooting a little high. Do you think they would be willing to work with our figures and give us $476,000 worth of love for $395,000?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Fresh Buzz and the Black Ink split, that sounds like that would not be amenable to your future path. Nothing against them. I do know that the Black Ink is already involved with the Slo County TMD. Am I correct? Or past?
Past.
Okay.
Because they do have a new firm that's actually handling both their marketing and their PR, which is Catalyst out of the Central Valley.
Okay. I liked Fresh Buzz. They seemed that they were very local, and they seemed to understand Morro Bay's kind of quirky side yet elegant side at the same time. So as I was reviewing all their RFPs, I did see what you kind of mentioned. They all have something about them that might make them a good fit with us. hospitality marketing there, shooting for both marketing and PR at 315, so they came in under budget?
It would be 315 for marketing and 80 for PR.
Okay, so...
Yeah, it would be the total.
Okay, so you think Verdin, mental marketing, and hospitality marketing would all come in at the 395 level?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Aaron?
I spent a few hours last night going over the websites. To me, especially in this day and age, almost in 2016 right now, websites, we're leaving a lot of the old formats behind. It's a very visual experience. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I did is, before we started looking at the numbers, is as I went through each of the RFPs, which one captured my attention? Which one looked like a website of 2016 or 2017? And which was kind of the visual direction? Personal opinion is I thought that the Hospitality Marketing Associates just looked more cutting edge to me. Their RFP was significantly longer than everyone else's, but a lot of that was because of the visual dynamics they built in there. Mm-hmm. Some examples that I saw was they were showing kind of a visual, a person holding up an iPad with a picture of the rock on it, but then the rock also extended beyond the iPad as though that was actually part of the real backdrop. So the visual cues, I thought, were just far above the other companies at that point. After reviewing their budgets, Hospitality Marketing Associates, Mental Marketing, and Verdin Marketing all look like they were at $315K for the marketing and $80K for the PR. So as far as the dollars and cents, there wasn't a reason to stray towards one or the other. Just to break down their overall campaigns, Hospitality Marketing just seemed to be the tightest to me and the most forward-thinking. So my vote, given this limited amount of information and just overviewing everything for a few hours last night and this morning, is Hospitality Marketing would be my strongest contender.
Great. So it sounds like we're moving forward with some recommendations for Brent. I spent a significant amount of time twice because this has appeared twice on our agenda. And fortunate for you all, you haven't seen all these culled down like that. So I had to refresh, right? So I need to reboot last night and really refresh. So I sat in front of the computer and went through it all over again and came to the same conclusions that I came to last time. Oh, yeah, right? Light bulb goes off. Which is that I feel very strongly that websites are terrific, but you can see from our statistics alone how quickly we're moving away from desktop and laptop websites and how quickly we're moving to mobile devices and how all those things have to queue together and really populate each other immediately and do all kinds of, you know, cross-pollination to make marketing happen. And I think, you know, while in some ways for Morro Bay, the past is the future is fresh and it's keen and it's aware and it's my 18-year-old and it's, you know, our 28-year-old and our 27-year-old, he'll be 28 in March. It's how they view the world and what they're doing and how they're clicked in because they're the future decision makers and we have to be 5 years in front of getting them in here in the future. We have to start planting the seed now for where they're going to vacation in the future. And we all know in the hotel business and in business in this city, the busiest times in this city are any times the schools are out in California. If California really wanted to boost its economy, it would go summer from Memorial Day to Labor Day instead of crunching the summertime down, and we'd get another 4 weeks of economy-driving visitation. So in any case, it has to be new, it has to be fresh, and you know, I see three firms that I'd be willing to see the board host, I'd like to say host, I know they're competing against each other, but I'd like to see present to the board, and I'm hearing that it's the same three from as the rest of you. It's let's see, I want to get their names exactly right. So rather than print the 7,000 pages, hospitality that were included, Hospitality Marketing Associates, Mental Marketing, and Verdin Marketing would be my three. It's not that I didn't like the fresh buzz and the black ink. I thought that they were fine, but I did want to note that on one of them, I felt like the administration was really high. The administration was very, very high. It was fully $70,000 of, when it was calculated together, it was fully $70,000 of the budget, and I felt like that was really pretty significant, unless for some reason there was something in there that I wasn't understanding, which very well may be right. But I was feeling, particularly bullish on Hospitality Marketing Associates, but definitely want to see Mental and Verdin back. So those are my thoughts.
Oh, I'm sorry, Taylor.
Go ahead, Taylor.
I don't own a hotel, and so my perspective might be a little bit different. But for our business that I run, the nonprofit I run, and we have a number of businesses associated with it, we do a lot of alternative style marketing, and some of the things that I've learned and researched is, and I'm going to go backwards, I think connections are huge. It's been huge for us. You can spend tons of time and money on a lot of legwork, but connections can just totally obliterate all of that in a moment. And I like that about, I think it was Black Ink was the one that I felt like had the strong connections. And I felt strongly about that. The second thing that I wanted to point out was that in the digital world, and this is also something that I'm very that we've practiced a lot in our business, is that we haven't focused on, we have a website, but that's not our focus. We're very focused on very quick changes with our digital advertising and marketing, and my board member who's up in San Francisco who gives me most of my advice on that, he's kept us very, very, very up to date on the realities of digital marketing. And I love what Aaron was saying about imagery, but I wanted to point out that for me, having digital marketing that is cutting edge and new is so important. And I feel like being with the pack isn't enough. I feel like you have to be ahead of the pack. And I think that there is some gamble in that, but I feel very strongly about that. So I kind of think that my vote, it would be more towards Fresh Buzz and Black Ink.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Would you... For a presentation, would you like to see anyone else back besides Fresh Buzz and Black Ink? Because we're looking to have three present.
So on that question, I do have something to say. I recently went to a little think tank thing for United Way with Verdin Marketing, I believe it was, in San Luis Obispo. And I loved how they ran that. And it had nothing to do with what they presented here, but just the way they were working for United Way, I was very impressed with. And so Verdin Marketing would be my third.
Todd?
My three would still be Verdin, Mental Marketing, and Hospitality Marketing, just because they are catch-all possibilities. Once again, I did kind of like the Fresh Buzz and the Black Ink, but they're two separate companies doing two separate things. Also, their two websites did not impress me as much as the other three from a visual standpoint. And when you're competing with that tourist dollar for that person who's driving down Highway 1 and realizes they're not going to make it to L.A. in 2 hours, and they're on a smartphone or a tablet looking for a hotel or a website, you need something that grabs them. And the Fresh Buzz and the Black Ink, even though I liked what they were saying in there, their presentation just did not grab me as much as the other three, Verdin, Mental Marketing, and Hospitality Marketing.
Aaron?
And One thing I just wanted to add to Brent's comment earlier, Brent, is while there's a distinction on here between marketing and PR, I really review PR as an extension of marketing. Marketing is your general theme for how you want to promote your destination marketing organization, and then the PR needs to kind of follow suit to that. What public relation campaigns do you want to reach out to? What ones do you not? So I think it makes perfect sense to have one agency handle both of those for us and run a tighter campaign overall. So I agree with you earlier. Not to say that Taylor's thoughts aren't very good as well. I do see advantages possibly to having some contrasting between two agencies as well.
So I'm sorry, to be clear for me as I move us forward,
yes.
Which three are you interested in seeing back for presentation?
Hospitality Marketing Associates, Mental Marketing, and Verdin Marketing.
Sorry, just doing a little bit of tallying here.
As am I.
So, let's see.
And should we wait for any members who are on the way who might be here shortly, who might have some viewpoints or add or subtract to the tally?
We have a quorum. We can wait. It's up to the board if the board wants to wait, but then we have to bring this back and open. We have to close it.
Okay, let's go forward then.
Open it
we
back.
We have a quorum.
Up.
That's
okay,
fine.
So
yes.
We would have to go through the whole.
Devil's advocate.
Right.
New
I
guy
understand.
Question.
That's I got you. No, I'm with you. So in terms of process, what you would have to do on that if we want to bring it back is make a motion to close it, open it back up, and such. So as we're moving forward, I see that we have pretty much a consensus from the board to at least see back hospitality. And definitely Verdin, because we've got four folks for Verdin. So Verdin is coming back to do a presentation. We have three for hospitality and three for mental. And then there's the Fresh Buzz, which came in, the Fresh Buzz Black Ink combo, which came in, but not with enough significant. If we're just seeing three, not with enough significant support to get back for a presentation. Does everyone agree to those figures?
Yeah, that's okay. My tally as well.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we'll take a motion to see back to see in January a presentation from Hospital. I want to get their name exactly right for the record, so forgive me. I'm looking for a motion to have presentations from three marketing firms at the January meeting, Hospitality Marketing Associates, Mental Marketing, and Verdin Marketing. Is that moved by a board member?
I will second that motion.
I need it. If you can make the motion, if you can just say so moved.
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. Okay, sorry. Clicking off here. We have number 9. Thank you very much for that. We have number 9. Moving on to number 9, the board retreat. What we tweet? For 2016. The 2016 board retreats. And I'm going to turn this over to staff so he can so Brent can give you information on what the board retreat entails. And it would be my suggestion for you all to wait to schedule this when you have a full board, so February or just beyond. Brent, go ahead.
In the past, we've actually had a board retreat to do a number of different things, is to actually help bring the board together. Because as what has actually happened to a lot of boards in the past, and not necessarily talking about this specific board, is that a lot of times boards don't see themselves as being one entity. And that's something that when we had spokes come in, that they were really trying to highlight and focus and saying that you guys each are individual board members, but you are actually one entity. And so when you're actually coming together and when you're doing policies and when you're out in the, you know, out in the public, yes, you do have the ability to provide your own specific opinions, but oftentimes you still have to speak as one board, whether you agree with something or whether you don't agree with something. And that's what we found in like having harmony here on the board of directors and making sure that when there's been something discussed and when the board has actually decided on, you know, whatever that might be, that is board consensus. Again, whether or not that you agree with it or disagree with it or what have you. But if the board votes, you know, 5-1, you know, when you're out and about. And so it's very important to have that philosophy and understand that philosophy and actually like work through that philosophy as a board. Because you guys are one board. Yes, you are each individual board members. We have in the past discussed what is the roles and responsibilities. And we're going to be revisiting that within the board retreat. When I first started as being the executive director, there was something that really kind of came to light when I was going through the interview process to make sure that the board understands what their roles and responsibilities with the organization and what the executive director's roles and responsibilities and what roles and responsibilities are actually shared. So that way there's not conflict. Because oftentimes you can see conflict where, you know, board members feel like, you know, they want to be able to run the day-to-day, where it's always a reminder to go back into the roles and responsibilities of, like, what my job is and what the board's responsibilities. And so, again, it kind of clarifies some things. But on a bigger standpoint, it's really looking at what those larger goals and objectives for the organization and for Morro Bay. You know, what's going to happen this next fiscal year? What's going to happen in the next 3 years? And what's going to happen in the next 5 years? We have to really look at those strategic things as far as, like, where we want to go as an organization, what are kind of those goals and objectives, and how do we want to reach them? So essentially, the board retreat will actually hit those points. I typically try to put a little bit of fun into it. We did have a facilitator the last time. I think it's actually going to be co-facilitated between myself, and I'm also going to be looking at a gentleman that we had considered doing facilitation before, who actually focuses in on strategies for destinations. We definitely want to look. We want to look broader and a little bit more beyond, and to ask those really tough questions to say, how do we reach the millennials? That's always the question on top of a lot of people's minds. And how do we actually tie in the agencies, and how do we tie in the city, and how do we tie in some of the other organizations within Morro Bay that we're all on the same page? And so it sounds like a lot, but we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And you know, having a board retreat is, again, it's a good way to get all on the same page, understand what the goals and objectives are for the organization, how do we look forward into the future. So I'd be looking at, I'm going to be proposing some dates for February. Obviously, we want to see with some of the new board. Sorry, Joan, you know, you won't be able to attend as a board member, but I do also want to also let the general audience know that any stakeholder can actually come to the board retreat. You don't have to necessarily just be on the board to attend. You can be a hotel, motel, inn, or B&B owner. You can be a member of the city. You can be a member of the community and still attend and see what's actually happening and what we're planning on doing. So it opens us up to not just the board, but it's going to be very, very much focused on the board and how that we communicate, how we strategize, and then how do we look forward. So I'll be sending out a doodle poll to the current board, and then also reaching out to Charlie Yates at the Inn at Morro Bay to find out what some dates that might actually work for everybody, because we definitely want to get it on the calendar sooner than later. But we do typically do a half day retreat, and so do plan on a half day. I know I'm eating up a lot of you guys' time, but again, we're going to try to make it as fun as possible. Any questions?
I don't have any questions. Does anybody on the board have questions?
Great. Sounds great.
Look for your doodle poll.
And exactly.
Exciting that you're having a facilitator. I think that's great. Okay. And thanks for that, Brent, organizing that and the idea of who you're going to include and how to get it all pulled together. And, you know, it is a board retreat, but the public should know that all of our meetings are public meetings unless it's a closed session, and we rarely have those. Those only have to do with employment and review. So, you know, it's always open to the public, and we appreciate public feedback. So, board retreat coming up soon in 2016. Now we're going to move on to number 10. Thank you. The Executive Director and Staff Reports, the Monthly Marketing and Operational Updates, Community and Stakeholder Correspondence. And for that, boom, 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 back over to Brent.
Back to staff. I'm going to actually start out with the PR and the marketing reports. And so you guys have all received the reports from Mental Marketing as well as from Verdin. I'm going to actually start out with the Mental Marketing in October. It was very busy October and November. I'm very, very pleased with, you know, what Mental Marketing has been able to do for us. We've seen a lot of return on investment as far as like some of the visiting journalists that we've hosted in the past, that we've seen articles now come to the forefront. The Santa Rosa Press Democrat, this is actually somebody that we had hosted earlier this year. The Tolosa Press, More Than a Rock, that's more free marketing. The Bold Italic, this was actually a gentleman that we hosted last year, and so it was nice to see the article finally come out. It was supposed to be a part of Gentry magazine, but he also has kind of separate digital blog and digital media. So we actually had a great return on that. The Examiner covered the Adventure Pass, and so again, that was... we didn't host specifically, but that was information that Mental Marketing had sent out earlier in the year. So it was nice to see that come to fruition. The Pacific Coast Wine Trail, that was free marketing for us. It was actually hosted a different destination in our area. I actually hosted that media person, but we actually ended up getting some coverage on that. The Boomer Patrol, that is somebody that we actually co-hosted along with some of the unincorporated areas, so it was nice to see that we had some return. But the 11 high-profile press release pickups on what's new for the fall and winter, we did see some really great return on that. And so, again, I'm very pleased with what Mental Marketing has been doing for us. They did attend the Visit California San Francisco event, and they did some pitches to a lot of the travel writers and different media there. They're continually doing follow-up, and so I would say that October, November has been a big follow-up months for them. Plus, they're always looking, obviously, ahead at what's coming up. I do throw a lot of things their way. Oftentimes, too, we get a lot of media and journalists that want to come and they want to stay. And so we have some exciting ones that are coming up in December, but we'll have to wait until this next month to discuss that. But for November, again, we had some really good return on some of the things that we've been pitching. Visit California also featured Windows on the Water. That was some free marketing for us. But we've been really trying to stay in front of Visit California's face. That's something that hadn't happened in the past, and I'm really pleased that Mental Marketing is staying on top of that. Plus, we've actually seen a big change with Visit California as far as their outreach. With having some new representatives that connect with the different destination marketing organizations, we have Brittany, and then we also have Brian, and we actually have two different representatives, and they're continually asking the question, are you getting the information from us? Are you getting the information from us? And when we don't, you know, they try to really work hard in making sure that we're in the forefront. I think the other huge benefit, too, with the Tourism Marketing District with Visit San Luis Obispo County, we sometimes actually do a little bit of a we make sure that it's doubly covered. And so if we don't see it and visit San Luis Obispo County does, we're always sharing that information. So it's always good. I'd rather get it twice than not get it at all. So we had a good return on investment as far as like the Morro Bay Motel Revival, the Top Romantic Escapes, and the Adventure Pass. It was actually picked up by Black Meetings and Tourism. The Examiner has been a really great media venue for us, and so we've seen some things with that. We hosted Gay Travel earlier this year, and so we're seeing some great return on that investment as well. So, again, very, very pleased with what's going on a media standpoint. We do have some pitches that they're working on that's going to be associated with the new website, and so we're excited on hitting more of the travel trade media as we're going into the first quarter of this next year. So some good things actually happening there. As far as like for Verdun, for October, the Facebook, they are doing the Cinemagraph ads, and the Cinemagraph, it includes movement within the actual digital ad itself, and they're seeing that there's been some really good return. In the month of October, the stand-up paddleboarding ad performed slightly better than the other two ads, and I think a lot of times it gives people the opportunity to visualize themselves doing that specific activity. What was really interesting from October to November, that the Google AdWords that had the higher amounts were Morro Bay Golf Course, Morro Bay State Park Camping, and Morro Bay Events, versus November, which some of them were similar, the golf course, the state park. But in November, we saw Morro Bay Boat Parade. As you can see, that people are starting to plan for that event. And then, as Aaron mentioned this morning, because he's a surfer, the tide table, because we're starting to see those king riptides coming into the area, so we know that it's really the time for those to hit those surfers. The October stats, we really continue seeing the jump in the mobile visits, and that's why I'm like, knock on wood, and I'm going to be happy to like show you, and I know that you guys have seen the link, but we've been really working hard on updating and making sure that the new website is ready for launch, and that one is, we're hoping that it will be a public launch, will happen this next Monday. It was supposed to happen on Friday, but we're still incorporating new photos. We're making sure that the links and everything are all correct and doing some additional testing with MobiManage. But Facebook, we continually see an update with that. But it's very interesting to see what's actually happening on Facebook. We're seeing this actually happen a lot, not just with Morro Bay, but we're also seeing with some of the other destination marketing organizations, where when you are providing a more personal story that has a great visual, that seems to be making a better impact than just doing the generic, like, here's what it is, here's a great photo. It really, truthfully, those two things have been huge success as far as like for Facebook, because you have a great photo, but you also have a great story with the photo. We've seen that with the Central Coast Tourism Council. We've seen that with some of our other constituents. We've seen it with us as well, because one of the biggest posts that actually had the strongest feedback was the story about the Rock being a sacred Native American site. And so there was a lot of conversations going back and forth. People were being very respectful, which was good. It was nice to see that because of the Rock and because of the story, that there was, again, that really great feedback coming back. When we look at November, we're seeing with the statistics and the metrics, etc., we're actually seeing a higher increase, because just with TripAdvisor, we saw a 500% increase in the TripAdvisor clicks, and that just means that we're really going a little bit more stronger with some of the digital ads, and so you're going to see that number go down slightly, but for November, that's a really great increase. Pandora was a recommendation from Verdun. We are doing a test in the San Diego market, and it's going very, very well. San Diego is a San Diego is a consistent market for Morro Bay. It doesn't matter what time of year, they're coming pretty much year round. Are they the strongest market for us? No, but we definitely want to try to capture a little bit more of that market as we're going along. With some of the insights too with the digital ads, the November performed better than October. And as you can see in the report, that LA and San Francisco markets, they market in both those general areas, LA Times, ESPN, CNN.com, ESPN, SFGate.com, Style Bistro, Yelp, and KTLA. And those are really the strongest markets and areas where we did for digital. So I'm very, very pleased. One of the things that I've been talking to Verdin about, and I think this kind of goes back to the conversation when you were talking about the agencies. Agencies have to stop from not being aggressive. And that's what I found with a lot of the agencies here in this area. They're not aggressive when it comes to when the low season is coming around. Passive marketing has to stop. We have to be more aggressive and we have to be more direct. And I know sometimes that can be very positive depending on what type of medium it is. Like with Facebook, you can't be so direct with it. Otherwise, you know, basically the ratings go down. But in other digital areas, we have to be a lot more direct as far as like, we want you to come to Morro Bay. You know, it can't be, oh, look at this pretty picture, you know. You might want to come to Morro Bay. And so I'm always really trying to push our agencies to say, you need to be more aggressive. And I always go back to, my sister was a wrestling cheerleader, and she and we had she had this cheerleading thing like, be aggressive, be aggressive. And that always goes through my head when I'm talking to the agencies, because I think a lot of agencies just always feel like you don't want to push your audience too much. But I think sometimes you do have to nudge them, especially when we're getting into the low season. So I'm very happy with the performance, but I'm always trying to push our agencies to do a little bit better when it comes to, we always want to see that the journalists that are coming in has to make sense. There's been a couple of journalists that they have proposed to me that I've rejected because I didn't feel like it was the right audience and I didn't feel it was really the right time, or what they were looking for wasn't really the right fit for Morro Bay. And so, again, Verdin is starting to do a little bit more of an aggressive campaign digitally. We're looking at some really fun things to do this first quarter of this next year, where it is going to be really a lot more direct marketing. It's similar to like what the Bureau is doing with the Morro Bay Weekender. We're trying to direct traffic directly to business instead of always trying to funnel it through morrobay.org. And I know some people would really say, don't do that. Why are you doing that? Because you want to try to take out that second step that a customer has to do. Like if you know that you can direct them to book directly with a hotel, why not direct that business directly to the hotel, especially during low season? This is the time where we do need to be a little bit more direct. And if there is something like a shop is doing or an event is doing, like let's get them where they need to be instead of making them work for it. So but on the flip side of that, we have a new website that we're going to be launching, and we're hoping that we're going to be able to use that a little bit more strategically as well in the first quarter. So anybody have any questions on the mental marketing, Verdin marketing reports?
I'll start with Todd. Do you have any questions?
No, sounds good. Thank you.
Taylor?
No.
Jane? Welcome, Jane, first of all. Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you. You all look really nice.
You look cool,
thank
Jane.
You're the only one. Okay, so I just have one question.
Yes.
And I know I came late and you probably answered it, but who is in charge of directing them to be aggressive or not, or approving their advertising techniques or not?
Me.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to know.
I was pushing it. You know, and ultimately, when you push and you have that constructive criticism, and I said this actually to Moby Manage, who is doing our website, if I don't verbalize things that can make you be better for the next customer, I mean, I'm always trying to push our agencies to be better, because if they're better at what they do, they're going to make us be better out in the marketplace. If I just sit there and be passive about it and say, oh, okay, whatever, you can't do that. You always have to try to push, and, you know, push in a positive way, not push in a negative way.
One other question then. And that is with the Weekender, because you use that as an example, so I will also. Are you happy? What was your original goal, and how is it measured, and where are you at with that measurement for the marketing?
As far as like for the marketing as a whole?
On the Weekender, you brought that up.
Yep.
Because that was a call to action, you
yes.
said.
Yes, okay? That is something that...
here's my question. When you did it, you had a goal, mm-hmm. okay, and it was, and there was a measurement, whether it be moreobey.org clicks or more sales tax or however it was, okay? So my question was, what were the goal measurements, and with your current audit, how is it performing?
The Morobe Weekender is actually performing really well. I would say that the one that hasn't performed well is the one that went out like the Wednesday right prior to Thanksgiving. A lot of people were out. But we wanted to increase the number of opens, and which we have. We've seen about between a 2 to 3% increase in opens. But we've also seen a lot more people actually clicking prior to when we did just the regular newsletter once, you know, sometimes twice a month. We're seeing less than 50 people actually clicking on the activities. We're actually seeing more than 200 clicks. And that's directly going to the events. And it's been very interesting to see what events that people have been more apt to, what they're actually responding positively to. And it's no surprise. Food, wine and beer, and shopping. That has been those three events. It's surprising to me in how much that people have been responding very positively to that. On a secondary level, it's been more the theater. It's usually more theater shows, but typically it's food and wine and beer are actually motivating a lot of people to come into the area. The car shows have done really well as far as like performance wise, but again, you know, if you do cars between like a food and wine event, the food and wine event gets a lot more activity than the cars. But it also provides the other goal to Jane and the rest of the board is that the Morobe Weekender is not just going out to consumers, but it's also going out to the hotels as well. So this is a tool that hotels can actually use, and I'm hoping that all of them are actually using it to make sure that if they have like calendars that they're updating, or if they have guests that are, well, what can I do? You know, sometimes Morobe, we have the activities and events, sometimes we don't, and so we do market and promote some of the events outside of Morobe, but we try to keep it where it's actually close and something where they can stay here and they can actually take advantage of that. The rainy day activities, it was something that we know that it's an El Nino year, and we definitely wanted to start kind of stockpiling those ideas that once we do get into that rainy season, that there are opportunities that not everything in Morro Bay you have to do outside. There's a lot of indoor activities that a person can do. And so we've really been trying to inspire that. Granted, it hasn't been so rainy as of yet, but it actually has helped us get an inventory together. Like if it starts really raining quite a bit, that we can actually provide those opportunities to guests. We're actually planning on creating it's going to be very similar to the Free Gift Friday. You have a map that's actually up by your place setting there. We're going to be doing some things as far as like rainy day activities. But ultimately, our goal is to get people to come into Morro Bay, stay longer, stay overnight, and spend more money. And, you know, we've seen that in some instances, but we haven't seen that in all instances. When it comes to, especially, we've seen not as strong of a number of people actually in the downtown area, and I've heard that a lot from retailers. So Embarcadero has remained, you know, somewhat strong, but the downtown area, it's been a little bit on the light side. Did that answer your question, Jane?
So basically what you're saying is when you put out the Weekender, you looked for clicks.
I'm looking to inspire people to come to Morro Bay.
Yeah, but how are you measuring that? So I'm saying you're measuring it by clicks.
Yes,
that's
I'm looking what,
that's
at...
All I,
right,
that's
right.
What I want to know. Mm-hmm. So, and you say you're meeting your goals. That's all I wanted
yep.
to know.
Aaron?
So the conversion rate would be, to kind of extend on Jane's question, you said there's 200 people that opened it, say, a week ago?
I'm talking about the actually internal clicks. We used to not have a lot of action within the actual email blast that we would send out.
Okay.
But we're seeing it go from about maybe 50 clicks to over 200 clicks. And they're clicking on each individual events. And so it gives us an opportunity to take a look at what are people responding to.
Okay.
Because prior to, and then also on that same topic, we are promoting directly like packages, rates, and things like that for the hotels, and we can actually see what people are actually responding to. And I will tell you, all the hoteliers that are sitting up here, people are responding more positively, and they're clicking on the ones that are rates, not so much the packages. Even though the packages are really great in putting that together, the packages that are probably a little bit more popular are the pet-friendly packages mm-hmm. right now. But usually it's when we're saying it, rates are starting for, you know, at whatever for the weekend, or rates are starting at this, or it's 50% off or 20% off. People are responding to that more positively than they are with some of the packages. And I have made recommendations to some of the hotels that have been providing packages and saying, get me a discounted rate, because that's essentially, or get me some sort of like a rate or offer that is not a package, because people are not responding to your, I mean, I can see the clicks. And so for Pleasant Inn, we've actually had some good responses as far as like the pet friendly inn. So people are really looking for that right now. And so that's very positive. Jane has a special called Birthright. And when we actually changed from just Bob to Birthright, we saw an increase in the number of activity with that specific thing. So I think sometimes when it's very unique, we've been, you know, marketing Gray's Inn with weekends. I switch it from weekends to weekdays and just kind of see what people are actually responding to. And we found that weekends people are responding a little bit more positively than the weekday rate. So. And then for the Embarcadero Inn, you guys had the veterans. We didn't really see a lot of activity with that, but once we actually changed it to, you know, stay two nights, get the third night for 50%, we've seen an increase in the amount of traffic for that. So it's really to understand what that behavior is, because that's really what marketing is about. Marketing and sales is about behavior. Like, how do you influence that behavior, and how do you track that behavior, and how do you leverage that behavior in the future? So,
any
make sense?
More questions?
No, thank you. That was very thorough, Brent.
So, for me, I like the Weekender. I'm glad the Weekender is here. I'm glad that the Weekender kicked in the shoulder season, because it does give folks a list of things to do, not only in Morro Bay but out in the county, right? So it's like, come to Morro Bay, stay in Morro Bay. Make Morro Bay your stomping ground and your sleeping place, and then get out there and see the rest of the county and come back to the coast, because you already live inland. Don't stay inland when you come to the coast. Stay at the coast. So
it's
for
warmer.
Me, yeah, stay at the harbor, over the harbor.
No, it's warmer.
It's warmer at the coast.
It's warmer.
That's right.
On
it's
the
also
coast.
Warmer at the coast, right? So, yeah. And who doesn't like the coast in winter, right? But, you know, the Weekender, I think, gives folks like food for thought on reasons why to come here. And then, you know, in terms of discounting, folks always want a discount. Doesn't doesn't matter what time of year it is. I'm sure Todd can tell you that. The very first thing that gets asked on the telephone is discount. So it doesn't surprise me at all that low rates or a discount is what they're responding to, especially in shoulder season like this. It does not surprise me at all. And it's kind of the trend that we've seen year on year on year, and I think Jane can probably even attest to that at her place too. So great report.
Did you have some questions about Verdin and mental marketing?
A question about, and I had it out here, and now I moved it. Sorry, as we went through. What I was looking at was the website traffic, and I noticed that the website traffic for desktop is up 5%. But I wanted to call everybody's attention to the mobile. To the mobile traffic that's up 101%, which is, I think, really bodes well to what we'll be looking at in January when we look for a marketing firm. These stats here, I think everybody should really have a hard look at these stats before we go into the marketing presentations next month. Maybe, Brent, you can provide these again out ahead of, I know it'll be part of the report or whatever, but right. Out ahead of that meeting, if you can supply these things again so we can, you know, have unique questions for each one as they make their unique presentations. But the mobile visits are huge.
They are.
Huge up. And the total visits are up over 27% to the combination of our desktop and our mobile. And I think that that's terrific because while folks, you know, may say, oh, well, you know, they're just popping on and looking, you know, that translates into food for thought and future bookings and doesn't necessarily mean that they booked that day, but they might be coming back in 3 weeks to book or whatever. So to see that traffic consistently up and stay consistent like that, I love that. And I think that, you know, the Bureau itself is doing a really good job on focusing, getting people into that. So look at the return visitors,
right.
too.
And it's keeping relevant content. The only thing that you're going to see in this next month is that because we're going to be launching a new site, we're going to be seeing a decline in traffic. Usually you do see that
right.
when there is a transition. So just FYI. So don't be too surprised if we don't see a decline in December. Did you have any other questions, Joan?
Nope. Okay. I just wanted to call everybody's attention to that stuff as we move forward with marketing firms. And that's all I had. So.
All right. So just kind of moving forward here, we're going to go ahead with the executive director and staff report. I'm going to have Aaron chime in. For some reason, this is not working. Can I get somebody from AGP? I don't know. Oh, no, it's not. All right, I suppose that would work, huh? That'd probably be helpful to have the actual thing on. We don't actually have the October numbers in as of yet. We should be getting those momentarily from the city. So hopefully yet this month that we will get that information. So nothing really new to report here on the occupancy and revenue. But moving on here, I have to switch to my other report. This is actually the sales report. Happy to say that, you know, Aaron and team is doing a great job. I'm going to have him chime in a little bit. You know, he is following up with a lot of different pieces of business, and I'm going to have him talk a little bit about that. But as you can see down below, that there's been 21 leads that have been sent out year to date. Total estimated room nights is it's probably a little over 2,500. We actually did have one, and I'm sorry, Aaron, I didn't get the New Year's Eve numbers in there, but I know you can talk a little bit about that. But total economic impact, we are estimating at $277,100. That's based a lot off of what our ADR is right now.
As far as like the Adventure Pass for October, November, total sales, we are starting to see a slowdown with that. 11 in total sales, 7 individual for couple. But we are reaching our goals, though, as far as like the number of Adventure Passes that we want to sell for this fiscal year. Total of 23 individual passes have been sold, 19 couple and 15 family. The Adventure Pass, we are looking at doing some changes with that. The agreements actually end at the end of this month, and so we're renewing agreements with the businesses that are out there, and we're going to be doing some tweaks just based off of the redemptions that we've had thus far. The individual pass will actually drop to $30, the couples pass will be $60, and the family pass will remain at $90, but we're gonna be doing some alternatives with that. As far as like the alternative revenue, we are starting to do visitor guide advertising out there with the sales, and we see the $375 thanks to the Embarcadero Inn. I know you guys might be upgrading to a full page, so hopefully we can see that going up. There's a pay-to-play program that I'm actually proposing right now with Visit San Luis Obispo County. We did the iBrochure program last year through Mad Media. I'm actually proposing that as being, I want to do that as a co-op with us, to do it as a county to try to boost up our numbers for e-marketing. It really actually helped us last year. Last year, they promised that we would receive about 1,500 qualified emails that we could actually reuse, and we actually saw about 1,750. I think it was actually almost close to 1,800 for the package. And so so I'm actually I'm looking forward to that and doing some other pay-to-play programs as well. Some of the things that Verdin is and I are actually talking about, that the San Francisco Chronicle, we're looking at doing some email marketing with them where we can actually have our own solo email that will go out to about 50,000. And this is where we're talking about the direct. And so we do want to work with the hotels to provide some direct marketing and to have that direct marketing go directly for different packages, you know, special rates, etc. So I'll be talking about that at a future meeting. But I do want to lend this to Aaron, because I know he's been working very hard and trying to uncover every single stone as possible. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Aaron.
Yeah, just just over here trying to thaw out. It's a little cold in here. But one of the biggest leads that came through this month is a group called Nature Corps, and I just kind of want to talk a little bit about them. I went out to all the hoteliers. Really, really cool group. They're already doing tours in Morro Bay. They're just not utilizing Morro Bay Lodging. So Brent and myself had a meeting with them about a week or so ago. They do about 4 or 5 trips a year, and so we're getting some pricing for them to come use Morro Bay Lodging. Their tours usually start on Friday. They come in, they have a dinner with the group. The next day, Saturday, the reason why they're really unique is they come in and they actually do volunteer work. They'll actually go out and do restoration on the dunes. They'll do all sorts of things. Taylor, you might have an interest in talking to them as well, but it's really neat what they do. You have tourism that comes in and does volunteer activities. So I think there's a lot of potential to grow weekday business with them and a lot of partnerships to be had with them. Their outreach goes all the way to Southern California and all the way up to Northern California. He's looking at talking to big corporations, which could lead to more retreats for us and some contacts with partnering with them. So if any of the hoteliers that are out there that haven't responded to that lead or I haven't connected you with, I really want you guys to respond to it, because they're not asking for room blocks. They just want partnerships with hotels. They just want rates, and the rates are based on availability. So it's just kind of a gimme for everybody, and hoping to get some response from that. So. Valentine's weekend is the first weekend they want. Of course, that's a busy weekend. They're not necessarily asking for a discount, but again, we're looking at a long-term partnership, so something to consider. And again, it's individuals. They put the individuals, they give them like a buffet of options for hotels, and they choose where they want to go. So it's kind of a neat thing.
How many rooms and how many guests do this group represent?
Typically, their tours are about 15 people. They keep them on the smaller side because they want to keep it, where it's not 40, 50 people. So they do about 4 to 5 tours of 15 people. That's about what they do. So,
okay.
He also does tours up in Yosemite. They also do them out in Hawaii. The neat thing about them is they're headquartered in Templeton. But yet they do all this outreach and tours everywhere else. So it's definitely more appealing for him to grow his tours here in Morro Bay because it's close to them. They can drive to it as opposed to having to, you know, stay in other areas when they conduct the tours. So really great group. I'm looking forward to working with them, and I think they'll bring us some good business. So.
But even though it's a smaller groups, they still could come several times a year.
4 or 5 times a year, yeah. Right now is what they're doing.
Okay, so it could represent a notable room quantity.
Yeah, and I see a lot of potential with growing weekday business with them because of their contacts with the corporations. I think a lot of corporations are looking what they can do to be more environmentally conscious. And so this is great PR for them to say, hey, we send our employees out to Morro Bay and they do dune restoration. It's something I can really chew on, I think, that we could grow. So.
And the Morro Bay tour is actually one of their more popular tours. They do Morro Bay and Hearst Castle. But all of their properties that they're working with is actually in San Luis Obispo.
Mm. So. Right. So, yeah, kind of interesting. But I sent a link out to their webpage, so if you guys haven't gotten a chance to look at the webpage, definitely take a look at it. Some of the outreach as well that I've been doing is I tend to gravitate towards the Sacramento market because I worked up there for a long time, but that market travels a lot. I just want to encourage everybody to consider putting it in our Tier 1 market. There's a lot of retired senior groups up there. There's a lot of travel groups up there. They have a couple huge retirement facilities called Sun Cities. If you've never heard of them, they're really active communities that travel. They do a lot of bus tours. So I've been doing outreach to them as well as Stockton Seniors, Davis Travelers. There's a few big senior travel groups up there that I've been looking at. Also, I've been doing a lot of outreach to car clubs, and a lot of those car clubs are based out of there as well, Stockton, Northern California. It's a great market. When it starts getting cold up there, they want to come down here to the beach where it's nice. So I've been trying to connect with them, and that's just ongoing and continual. My activities, a lot of the stuff I've been doing is getting out to the hotels. This last month, you guys have seen my face around. I've been dozens and dozens of meetings. I haven't really been scheduling anything with anybody, so just to let you know, I'm making it a point just to get around and pop in. If you're too busy, just let me know. That's fine. I'll catch you another time. But a couple of things I've been going over is some of the seasonal pricing we're going over. I want to be able to have some sort of pricing structure in our arsenal to be able to sell you guys like that really quick. Because if we have people call up and they want to know what room rate's going to be at any one of their given properties, we need to be responsive with it. So I'm kind of piloting and testing out seasonal pricing. Most of the properties have a seasonal pricing structure. And within that, I've included blackout dates where you can just reserve it if you don't want to give a price for that. Again, these are kind of based on availability. It just gives me, you know, an opportunity to say, okay, this is what you're looking at when somebody calls us and contacts us. For the smaller properties, we were also looking at a buyout program. It's something new. Some of the smaller properties, we connected with them and kind of presented it to them. We want to see what the interest is in it. We want to see what we can do with it. We're really looking at days where you really have no bookings, and we want to try and market buying the entire hotel. So trying to do things on both sides with the larger properties and the smaller properties, making sure nobody's left out. Of course, getting around talking to everybody about the visitor guides advertisement. I encourage everybody to have an ad in there. Really, this is you know, our piece of marketing material where I'm literally handing it to people and connecting with them. So it's a really good thing to be in, and everybody should hopefully want to participate in that. So been a lot of those meetings, you know, like I said, with the hotels, and it's been nice connecting with everybody and getting out there. I get a lot of ideas sometimes from other hoteliers, so it's a real win-win. Another thing I'm kind of looking at is some of the pet clubs around the area. I don't think we could ever host an entire pet club at a hotel. I was like kind of scratching my head about that. You'll take it, Joan? Okay. I don't know how big they are, but it's something I'm looking at and doing some outreach to them and letting them know that we're pet friendly. This is kind of in advance of us having our show down in February at the Amazing Pet Expo in San Diego. So I want to see if I can maybe get some contacts before we get down there and actually present at that show. Obviously, Brent mentioned the clicks are really high with pet-friendly, so just, again, pushing a little bit harder with that and getting it out to the clubs and their constituents and letting them know that yeah, this town's pet-friendly, bring your pets to the beach when it's cold. So that's one of the things. I've also identified another trade show that we might be interested in. There's an outdoor trade show that happens up in Sacramento. They do kayaking, boating, fishing, hunting. You know, Sharon does it really well. She always runs through those. But all the outdoor activities they showcase at this event. Placer County's actually got a booth there. They actually expanded their booth. I think it's something that we could maybe find partnerships with local businesses that want to partner with us, you know, to be at that show. But it's really for the outdoorsmen and people that are into the outdoor activities, you know, even scuba diving, sailing, all these things, all the things that we have to offer here. We're a very outdoor city, so I think it'd be a very good match of this. So I'm still looking into that. Me and Brett are still in discussion whether that would be a good show for us to be at. I also looked at a few advertising opportunities with us. I tend to look at the military bases around here. I was stationed at Vandenberg. The guys down there are always looking for something to do on the weekends. They actually do get days off and weekends, and we're a drive-in market for about three bases. There's some advertising opportunities that we could have there at a very minimal cost. To give you an example, they have a bowling alley there. You could have ads up for Mora Bay and their bowling alley that circulate through there. They have publications that come out on a monthly basis, some of them on a weekly basis. There's some opportunities there. We could have some advertisement in there. The troops do travel, and we have a rich military history in our town, and I think it'd be a good partnership. And me and Brent are still in discussion about whether that would be something we want to look into. So, also, our partnerships with Mora Bay High School and Cuesta College. One thing that I've been looking at is it's obviously really slow. We're always trying to look for something extra we can do in these slower months to drive business to us. We have two large events that happen. One at Cuesta, there's one happening this weekend. It's a basketball tournament, and then the Sam Boyd tournament at Mora Bay High School. So I'm in discussion with their athletic directors about us potentially having a booth there to hand out visitor guides. You know, maybe do an adventure pass giveaway, anything we can do to try and drive more people into Mora Bay and get more exposure for free, really, because, you know, we've already paid for some of these partnerships. All these teams come from all over the place, all over California. So a lot of them bring family members, the grandparents, especially this time of year, they want to come see their kids and their family compete. So I think it'd be a great opportunity to get us more exposure and just have that booth and be handing out our visitors guides. So. That's what I got. So
we will turn it over to the board for questions for staff or comments. Questions or comments, Aaron? Did you swallow all that? Get all that? Everybody digest. Take a deep breath. That was a lot.
You've been hard at work, Aaron. Thank you. Yeah, anything outdoor oriented and pet friendly, I see as being a real strong attribute here, and for us hoteliers. I know we do, and I believe everybody sitting here at the board right now. Todd, do you guys pet friendly? No. Okay.
We're kid friendly.
No. Kid friendly.
Yeah. We have carpets and leather furniture, and one bad pet could do that in. You know, we do take service animals and things like that when needed.
Completely respect that. Nevertheless, outdoor activity and the pet activity is something I know a lot of us would welcome. So thank you for following up with that. Jane?
And so to entice groups here, what have you found with the availability for space for small groups in this center and also at the Park and Recs building?
As far as availability, as far as them using the facility, I haven't seen any issue with that.
Have you found that what is the percentage that this is open for small groups during the year and also up there?
Brent, you may know about that.
It's very limited availability. Yeah. So we're actually
Is it 10%, 20%?
It's probably less than 10%.
Less than 10%.
The city actually uses their facilities actually quite...
Okay.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm getting at that is because we cannot approach small groups that might want, you know, meeting space unless there's a hotel that has a small meeting room. We cannot use any of the city locations because it's only available 10%.
But Jane, we don't focus on groups like that. We actually try to focus on groups that are coming in and that they're looking for rooms, not specifically always needing space. Obviously, we have the Inn at Morro Bay, and they have space out there, and we do have alternative spaces as well. So there's a lot of restaurants that we can actually use. in lieu of not using like the Vets Hall or the community center. So we have to be creative as far as like what spaces that we have available.
No, I know.
Here
I'm just looking at, like, for instance, if you do have a pet group, okay, and they want to have spaces where they can have booths up and learn about certain educational programs. We really don't have a space for that. You know, this would be an ideal room, okay, for something like that. We don't have space for that. And you know, that's something that I think is important, because every time I bring it up, the city feels that we do have availability, and bottom line is we don't. So I think that that's an important statement, because we couldn't have an indoor bridge tournament. We couldn't have an indoor mahjong tournament. We couldn't have tiddlywinks. We couldn't have indoor things when it's raining, because we don't have the space. So I just wanted to get that clarified in public. I think that's important, especially when we're looking at groups. Thank you.
Just to kind of clarify too, Jan, we did have one lead that came out where there is a group that's going to be using this facility. It was a water treatment group. I sent that out as well. They will be using this facility. And some of the groups that, just to follow up with what Brent said, that we went over, the senior groups, you know, that are travel groups, the pet-friendly ones, you know, we're looking to fill more rooms than anything. And I certainly think that's a great idea looking towards the future, trying to find more meeting space. And I know it's something me and Brent talk about a lot. And also properties that could potentially, you know, host more larger groups. That's definitely something for me to sell, and we're definitely looking towards the future for that, trying to figure out how we can do that. So,
Taylor.
Yeah, I was on Jane's comment. I wanted to point out that, you know, we're lucky in Morro Bay to have some great private facilities that have supplemented what the city isn't able to provide. For example, the Winter Bird Festival, I know from my job, uses the St. Timothy's Roman Catholic Church's multi-purpose facility every year, and also the classrooms at St. Timothy's Roman Catholic Church, which is located in the middle of town. So thank you, St. Timothy's. Also, I wanted to say that the Nature Corp, I am familiar with them, and I think that's a really, you know, pat yourself on the back, good job. Following up on that, I would think that, similar to what we talked about, what Brent talked about last spring with the Hearst Castle, you know, anytime people are using the State Park or Sandspit or Hearst Castle, I mean, that's our market, and we should be nailing that. And I would like to see us smother everything that has anything to do with the outdoors here on the coast. Thank you.
Todd?
I also agree. Great to kind of find the activity that's already in the region that may not be staying here, and, you know, kind of say, hey, you're already here, come over here, and kind of make them ours instead of just letting them wander about. You know, they come into Morro Bay, but if they could stay in Morro Bay on top of that, that would be great, and that's what this is all about.
Thank you. I have just a couple things. First of all, great report. Great work.
We're not done yet.
I know. I get it. Hard at work. But in terms of groups, I have a group coming in that I'm partnering with a local restaurant. They're going to be doing breakfast, like a breakfast, whatever, a buffet at a local restaurant that isn't typically open for breakfast. And that makes that space available for that group, which is really a win-win for both my hotel and that group. So there's... In terms of whether I would be able to use them for dinner or not, well, likely not. Then you'd have to go to, I guess, a breakfast restaurant and see if they would, you know, be willing to group partner with you. In terms of the whole dog-friendly thing, I know that probably 15% of the rooms, I don't know what the number is, but I'm guessing about 15% of the rooms in Morro Bay are pet-friendly. I know that in Ventura, it's one of the things that used to happen there that would just bust the town wide open was the UCANUBA California Agility Show. And they have regional, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing UCANUBA right. I always mess that up. But they have regional qualifying pageants or whatever they do for agility. And it would be really, really cool if we could somehow persuade them to make Morro Bay a regional host for something like that? And if it's not Eukanuba, is it IMS or is it Science Diet or whatever kind of dog show they might have? And the agility ones are held outside, which is why it's very interesting. It hones in on Jane's point. You know, the agility ones are always held in like a park, and they draw tons of people. And it's really cool to watch, by the way. And I had a friend who had the state championship dog, which was pretty amazing. It was really amazing. So I think those kinds of things, my dog could never qualify for that. That's right. It's a lap dog. And my big dog Milo trips. So, but the Eukanuba or one of those agility shows for dogs would be really, really interesting. And while it would only help 15 or 20% of the rooms, that puts compression on the rooms that are not pet friendly for all of the other business that would normally come in on those days. So I do see that as a good, any of these small groups are good for the entire overall picture. We have to always consider it's not about our own hotel, it's about the entire compression on the entire community. The other thing is all those sports groups, I'm glad we're finally reaching directly to those schools and trying to get our visitor guide in their hand to come back as recreational visitors too, not just about them coming in, spending the night for the CIT, but coming back three times during the year. So thanks for that. And those are my comments on groups and all the work. And I won't turn you away. If you come to the hotel, we'll all wave hi to you, even if we're too busy, and then we'll set time for you. So that's
at least give me a cup of coffee.
Yeah. And we'll give you a free cup of hotel coffee. That's right.
There we go. So. All right, moving on. As you can see, you're going to see this time and time again. Here are Tier 1 markets in order of importance: L.A., Central Valley, San Francisco, San Jose, San Diego. Our Tier 2 markets, Sacramento, Phoenix, Reno, Las Vegas, and Houston, are all seasonal. And then our Tier 3 are the international audiences of Australia, Canada, China, Brazil, and Mexico. And we can't do this alone. This is actually all to do with the partnerships that we have with Visit California, Central Coast Tourism Council, Visit San Luis Obispo County, as well as Discover America, which is the granddaddy of all of them. So we're always trying to reach out to these different markets through a lot of different ways and opportunities through those organizations. Trade shows, as you can tell, that we have got through some of the trade shows. Aaron is gearing up for the American Bus Association conference. This is a B2B. This is actually more with the tour operators. So we're going to be sitting down and talking about what types of itineraries that we're going to be selling, or he's going to be selling at the show. February, as he's mentioned, the San Diego Amazing Pet Expo. This is actually a new show for us. Thankfully that we are a nonprofit, because we got a really extremely great rate for this. Normally the show is like $600. We got the booth for $200, and we also got a corner, too. The Bay Area Travel and Adventure Show is going to be in San Francisco in March, and then we have the Nevada Women's Expo, Arizona Ultimate Women's Expo in April, and then the International Power IPW will be in June. So we do have a busy schedule coming forward. Just wanted to give a little bit of feedback on the LA Ultimate Women's Expo. It was held in October. The estimated attendance was 10,000. I did talk to the show producers. They estimated that it was closer to 18,000. We distributed 1,000 visitor guides, about 750 specials and deals we had created. We collected about 225 signups and saw a slight spike in web traffic. It's only about 2%. Would not really recommend the show for next year. The attendance was lower than last year's numbers. They had estimated about 30,000 the year previous, and so it was quite a change in audience. There could be a lot of reasons for that. There were actually two different races going on, one each day, that actually blocked off traffic to get to the convention center, which was kind of odd. The attendees, though, did not really fit the profile of visitors that we want to seek. A lot of them were not travelers. We did try to influence as much as we could do, and there were a lot of duplicative booths, not specifically with destinations, but we saw a lot of makeup, hair, psychics, a lot of there was like, you know, 5 or 6 different psychic booths that were there, so it didn't really fit the criteria. It was a good show to try, but I think that we will be looking at other shows for the future for that.
What was the theme of the show, Brent? I'm not familiar with it.
They typically have some higher-end like speakers that come, and the speakers brought in people just for their time, and then people left. But women flocked to the back of the show because they would do a lottery to do a whole like makeover with hair and makeup, etc. So there were a lot of salons that were doing that. And so we saw women, as the doors were opening, that they would just run past our booth, and we're like, what's going on? And I guess that there's actually 2 salons that had in the back. They were doing makeovers for, I don't know, like 100 to 125 women. Mm-hmm. And so it was based off first come, first serve type of situation. So it was really more geared towards that. But it didn't really fit the profile of the people that we're trying to reach to come here to Morro Bay. Moving on here, the promotional calendar. We are in Rock the Holidays. And I do want to highlight, too, you guys do have at your place setting the Rock the Holidays listing here. Plus, if you do go on to the morrobay.org website, we're continually updating that. We did handouts that we provided to all of the hotels and motels. It's also available for download on morrobay.org. But definitely, I would recommend for your staff to look at this, to look at morrobay.org, to look at what's coming up, because there's a lot of really great, cool, small events that happen throughout the month of December that can really impact. It did last year, and I'm hoping that it will do again this year. But there's a lot of New Year's Eve. There's a lot of New Year's Eve events that are coming up, and again, we're continually updating that information. We do keep this information from year to year, so that way we know what businesses to reach out to for the following year. There was actually only one restaurant that we didn't get on the list, and that was Blue Sky had offered a Thanksgiving dinner. We didn't know until like the day before when they posted on their Facebook page saying we're still accepting reservations. But otherwise, we usually try to update this as going along because we want to, again, help impact and grow business here in Morro Bay. We want to give people reasons on why they can come and stay overnight. And, again, there's really a lot of cool events that are happening in the month of November and December and into January. So, again, I would really recommend for you and for your staff to always take a look at that. I'm continually getting new events, you know, week by week to update. So we're going to continue Rock the Holidays through January, and then we're going to start the resolution destination because we do feel that Morro Bay is the resolution destination. You can work out and get fit in gyms, but why do that when we have this whole playground, natural playground that we have here in Morro Bay? So moving on, we have a lot of different bureau partnerships that are going on. Some are complete, some are ongoing. Obviously, Amgen, the high school, you know, even with Cuesta College, it's going moving forward. We're still trying to connect with Katie, who's with Project Surf Camp, to start working on lodging for that for the month of July. We do have to expand further than just the hotels, motels, but some of their clientele, they're looking at vacation rentals as well as campgrounds. So we're going to be going over that. The Morro Bay businesses, we did the Christmas in July, open late after 8. The Free Gift Fridays, you do actually have that in front of you as well. Happy to report that we had over 32 different businesses participate. Unfortunately, we had a few of them that didn't make the deadline for the printed one. But I would also strongly encourage all of the hotels and motels, hand this out to your guests on Fridays, because there are 31 really cool offers on the back. And we do have some additional ones that are actually on the website. I know Gorilla Gardeners is a part of that as well. So we do want to see, people getting around to... Yes, Jane?
I just wanted to say that this is being well publicized. We have locals that are coming in asking for
maps.
That's
cool. That's cool.
So it's besides the guests, the locals, it's serving
good.
The locals also.
Good. We do have some copies also at the Morro Bay Visitor Center, which is located in the chamber building as well. So they do have that. It is available for download for you guys as well. This format seems to be working and is being received really well with different consumers. And one of the things that I wanted to let you know, as we're working down on the dog-friendly brochure, we're actually going to be putting together the Morro Bay Pet-Friendly Trail, and we're going to be using this format. We have close to 100 businesses that are pet-friendly that are going to be on a map like this that we're producing right now. It's going to be a piece that Aaron will be handing out at the amazing Pet Expo. We'll also have it available online for download. We'll provide it to the hotels and motels as well, along with the visitor center and the campgrounds, because I know this is a passion of a lot of people who are sitting up there today. I know, Jane, your property is pet-friendly. I know, Aaron, you inherited a pet-friendly property. Joan, you just converted yours into pet-friendly. And I know, Taylor, I'm sure that you'll allow the pooches to come into your business. And I know, Todd, with your gallery, too, I've seen dogs kind of pop in. So we do have a very pet-friendly destination. I attended the Bay Area Travel Writers Marketplace this last month. And we do have some media that really wants to cover Morro Bay, especially the pet-friendly aspect of that. So once we're going to get this updated, and we're going to be doing a distribution starting mid-December. But, Jane, you had a question?
Yeah, I think I want to mention this if the city watches this, and that is that one of the dogs that were visiting us got attacked by a dog that was owned by a local that was not on a leash. And I think that, I mean, there's a lot of dichotomy here with pet friendly. You know, they're really not allowed. They're not allowed in the Saturday markets. They're not allowed in certain places. They are allowed in certain places. But we do have a leash law. And
right.
I don't know what to do about that.
Well, we are going to be including that information, Jane, in on the pet-friendly trail, because there are certain areas, too, along the beach that we want to make sure that people and pet owners understand where they can have their pet and where they can't have their pet, because there's, you know, with the Morro Strand, there's a certain section of the beach where dogs are just not allowed at all. But then on the more flip side, that we have North Point Beach, which is in between Morro Bay and Cayucos, you can let your dogs off the leash, and it's basically their beach. And I know my dogs enjoy, like, running off a lot of energy, and they chase after birds. I don't know if they ever caught one, what they would even want to do with it, but they like to chase after them and just leave it at that. So anyway, but there's a lot of really great places and parks here in Morro Bay, like City Park. You know, you do have to have your dog on a leash. You know, Tidelands Park, the same thing. You know, Morro Beach, etc. So there's a lot of areas where we're going to be indicating where they actually have to be on the leash and where they can actually be off the leash. So I'm very excited about updating this information. Again, we're going to be distributing that hopefully again in December. And again, Rock the Holidays, we're going to continue on with that. We're going to rock the holidays through January. And so, again, encourage your guests to take advantage of a lot of these really cool events and activities that are going on. Again, billboard advertising program. We did actually end up with the Merchant Street Fair. I'm happy to report that the new billboard is going to be installed this month. It looks like it's going to be happening on Monday. I'm going to get confirmation from Verdin. So we aren't going to be advertising any events up to this point until, like, the new artwork gets posted on the billboard on Highway 1. just some of the short-term goals, you can take a look through that. I did want to bring us to this one. I'm going to step back because I want to highlight some things with the new website. So hold on to your hat.
While we sit, Brent, let me just ask you, will you be speaking? Because I'll help you by moving the microphone. Are you going to want to walk us through this with voice as well? Okay, I'll help you out. Or AGP, do you have a... AGP, do you have a handheld mic? Or can I just pull this like this? How does this? I'm so sorry. Yeah, I guess I could take this over. We have Slack. Just for the viewing audience, we are almost there. We're just getting connected with some audio, and as soon as we're connected with audio, we will be moving through the new website that is going to bring us into the next. Yeah, I don't have any elevator music. All right. It is the holiday time. Does anybody know any carols? Anyone know any carols? I know. Lots of, say that again, Jane. Hanukkah starts this weekend. Great. Holidays. We said holidays.
All right.
Okay, here we
Thank
go.
Thank you, AGP.
Thanks, Brent.
What
Thank
we,
you, AGP.
What would we do without you guys? Well, we are very excited because under our current website, we actually have to maintain two different CMSs, and which is CMS's content management systems. And because WordPress does not allow to have responsive sites for both desktop and mobile, we actually have to maintain two. And so now we actually do have a responsive site. So whether if you're on your tablet or if you're on your smartphone or on a desktop, you'll actually see it in different, basically different types of views. But the information will remain the same, so we don't actually have to maintain two separate. So that's going to actually cut down on staff time. If you notice up above here in the top right-hand corner, one of the things that was really important for us is to actually have where the website could actually be translated into different languages, because we do have an international audience that actually comes to Morro Bay. Unfortunately, with our current website, we don't actually have it where it can actually translate, and so we're very excited about that. Some of the other new things that we have here, you know, and this is really a part of like our more long-term goals, is to be able to reach out to media, to those who are planning group travel, sports, and meetings. But we also have to have it to where we'll have the information right on our website. So how can planners effectively reach out to us, and how can we actually provide them with information? So this is actually very new for our website specifically, that we're reaching out to this travel trade, travel media, as well as people who are planning tournaments, sports, and then also meetings and events, and that can be anything with weddings, anniversary parties, but it can also be conferences and conventions, smaller conventions as well. One of the things just to highlight as well, that if we do see pieces of business that we cannot host within the area, we do have a partnership with Mike Wumbolt, who is actually the new travel trade person with Visit San Luis Obispo County. There was a piece of business that we could not host, and so we provided that information and directed it to them because we don't want to lose that business for the general area. Obviously, we have for the visitor information, and this is a place where people can download the the visitor guide, the bike map. I'm trying not to do too many clicks because I know that the internet speed here is actually on the slow side. But then also, too, what we were actually missing is a way on how people could contact us. It was very confusing with our current site because a lot of people thought we were the Chamber of Commerce, not the Tourism Bureau. They thought we were the Visitor Center, and so this is a really great way in how we can actually solidify and clarify like who we are and what we do. We did also want to include information with blogs. That's something that we're going to be working with our PR agency a little bit on. But the one thing that I really do love is that we have a really robust things to do. We have this great pull-down menu. We can do view all, where we're hitting family-friendly, outdoors, beaches, LGBT-friendly, the whole nine yards. And this allows us to be able to change and modify as we need because the back end gives us the power and control to be able to do that. With upcoming events, obviously we're Catherine and Sharon have been working on updating this and they're going to continue working on that. With places to stay, we do have a breakdown of hotels and motels, inns and B&Bs. We do have vacation rentals, camping and RV parks and an opportunity to view all. And this is rather exciting as well because it allows from your specific individual listing to go and book directly with your property. And that's what I really like about the listings on here. The eat and drink, we actually broke it down with restaurants, coffee shops and bakeries, suites, wine tasting, and bars, grocery and farmers market, and a place where they can view all. We wanted to really highlight what we have here in Morro Bay and how we can direct people to different eating establishments as well as grocery stores and the farmers markets. The deals and promotions, I am going to click on this because it allows for deals and promotions for both hotel and motel specials as well as our featured promotions such as Free Gift Fridays. And so you can kind of see here where it allows for people to be able to scroll down. There are some things that Moby Manage is actually going to be changing specifically on that. But going back to the homepage here, I do want to highlight in the fact that when you do scroll down, it's what's coming up, some of the upcoming events. We're actually able to do, feature, specific events so we can try to inspire people for future travel. The top things to do, this is something that we can modify and change. It can be beaches, free things to do, birding, family-friendly, or golf, but we can actually modify these as we so desire. We're actually working on changing some of the photos so it shows up a little bit more clearly. And a way in how people can actually explore the city on places to stay, eat and drink, things to do, and it actually goes through that process. At the bottom, one of the areas that we didn't have is that we get featured in a lot of articles. And so we're actually using this bottom section here to highlight some of the ways in how Morro Bay is actually featured in a lot of these different articles. And so it's going to help with search engine optimization. It's going to get people to want to stay on our site for a little bit longer and to do a little bit of more reading, etc. And then we're doing some tweaking here at the bottom, but we have, who are our partners in Morro Bay? With the City of Morro Bay, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, the Merchants Association, Visit San Luis Obispo County, Central Coast Tourism Council, and Visit California. But there's a lot of things that yet need to be done before we do our launch on Monday. We've been, I've been reformatting photos. We've been making sure that descriptions are all set. But I know I provided with all of you guys with the link. And I'm really, really excited about this website. And I think it's going to be a very powerful tool for us to use. And again, I'm just very thankful that it's a responsive site and we don't have to maintain two different types of sites. But we're going to be able to definitely help influence when it comes to like this section here on what's featured and what's coming up. With events, too, people will be able to plan a little bit more further in advance. Again, we can influence on some of the promotions that we're doing and what other entities are doing when it comes to overnight stays. With the eat and drink especially, we do want to help influence that a little bit more. We found that shopping definitely needs a little bit of love, and the restaurants need a little bit of love, and that's why we're kind of dividing some of these things out a little bit. But again, under the things to do, you can see that outdoors is one of our main areas here, and there's so much to do in Morro Bay in the outdoors, and it's a definitely amazing website, and so very, very happy with Moby Manage, and we've been working with them. You can see here just with things to do where we have the outdoors, theater, entertainment, the Morro Bay Adventure Pass, family-friendly, the classes, the LGBT-friendly, and the events. And it just really allows us to definitely influence, and you can see it's very visual, and that's exactly what we want to have happen. We want to inspire people by photos, and we want to inspire people with the authenticity and the genuineness of the beauty of Morro Bay and all of the different aspects about Morro Bay as well. So it's been a labor of love. You can just definitely ask Catherine, and she's been working a lot on that. Great proofer. We have a good proofer in the house. So we're still going to be going through. A website is never done. You know, anybody that tells you the website is complete, they're liars, because the website is definitely something fluid. It always continually changes and updates, and it should be updated and should always be looked at. So we're going to be monitoring and seeing what people are going to be responding very positively, and that's the beauty of this website, too. We can change and we can modify the things under things to do and under the events and places to stay and based off of what people are actually responding to. So I'm very excited about doing a soft launch on Monday, and then we're going to be doing more of a grand launch, you know, as we're making sure that everything is all set and there's no lorem ipsum, you know, the dummy text that's in there anywhere. So I've been finding that, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I missed that one. So, but anyway, we're very, very excited. So any questions specifically on the website?
As far as managing it, Brent, do you have full access to everything? Are we?
We do have full access. There are certain things that are hard-coded, and that's less than 5% of the things within the website that are hard-coded. But pretty much we can actually change pretty much almost everything on the site.
Excellent. Okay, so Moby Manage steps out of the scene. Of course, we own the domain, but the actual content within...
We own the domain. We actually own everything. So that was a part of the agreement.
Cool. Thank you.
Todd.
Is there, since this is all about getting people to come to Morro Bay and actually stay in Morro Bay for more than just the day, since there's so many things to do on that website, is there like a itinerary that you could maybe create, like, oh, on your first day here?
We will be able to do that.
On your second day here, on your third day here.
And that's something that, you know, a lot of the industry is actually recommending to include in your blogs, into putting itinerary ideas together, because you can actually inspire people. Because are they coming with their pets? Do you do a pet-friendly inspired itinerary? Or are they coming with their families, and do we do something really inspiring the families? And I think that there's a great opportunity for us to do that inspiration, because now that we're going to be done with this, you know, I'm going to have Catherine do some research on finding out when the spring breaks are actually happening, and we definitely want to have that information uploaded prior to that on what you can do with your families here. And I think it's a really great thing, whether you use the full itinerary. You don't have to, but you can definitely inspire people by saying, hey, this is what we recommend. You know, you can go here, 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 and here. And that's also the thought process behind the Adventure Pass, that they can create their own custom experience while they're here. So, and they kind of almost build their own itinerary in doing the purchase of that. So,
yeah, I think that's really important. There's so many, just on like the outdoor aspect of what we have in the region. You can't go down to Montana de Oro and hike Valencia Peak and kayak the bay and go up to the elephant seals and go to Moonstone Beach in a one relaxing day. So you almost need 2 or 3 days. So you grab a hotel and stay a while.
And you can't always assume.
You need 3 weeks to do it all.
Right. And you want to stay at Gray's Inn. I mean, you want to stay at one of the properties in Morro Bay. But the one thing that you can't assume is that sometimes people just need direction. They need to know what's actually available to them. And if you can give them a little bit of a roadmap, it's always very helpful. Any other questions, comments?
Taylor? I guess it's my turn. I think it looks great. I think, you know, I'm thankful that we have some new photos on there and that we've used some of the photos that we've had to save costs. They are reconfigured and the website looks fantastic. It looks totally different. I like the fact that the website and the visitor guide are mirroring each other in terms of they reflect the same quality and theme and feel. And for the visitor, there's continuity.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason why we adopted the City of Morro Bay logo. We wanted to stop having 10 different types of messaging out there and get down to a singular continuity of message. And I see that that's all coming together really well with this website. A couple of quick questions. It's my understanding, I shot these to you already, and I just, when I ask a question, I like to get it back out in the public again. You know how that goes for me. The site in terms of restaurants and retailers and hoteliers will not rotate when you go over to the page.
No.
But that gives us a consistent user experience, because in what you were finding, and I'm paraphrasing what you told me, but in what you were finding from the user experience is, I'll use the hotel page because I'm most familiar with that. The folks would go onto the hotel page and the beach bungalow, the Inn at Morro Bay, Gray's Inn, and Front Street Inn and Spa would show up. And then they would go out and they would look at restaurants, and 20 other people are rotating out there, clicking in on the page, right, into the lodging page, let's say 10 or 20 other people. When they click back in, they get a page that has Front Street, Gray's Inn, the Inn at Morro Bay, and Pleasant Inn. And they only see one rotation because the rotation has changed, but it's changed also based on the other people that are clicking in. So they're never seeing the full scope of what's available. So the reason we have it this way now is so that they can page down and see the full scope of what's available. Is that right?
We saw a lot of frustration with customers on our current site because they built in a randomizer. And so when you're looking at business listings, it's not in alphabetical order. It randomizes, and so you can go from page to page, and you're going to sometimes see the same ones, or you might see different ones, and it was very frustrating because if consumers were trying to find something specific that they couldn't do it in alphabetical order, which is, and then when I say random, it is very random, and so we actually saw a lot of people just kind of give up. They're like, you know, this part of the website I don't really like. Because if they were trying to find a specific restaurant with a specific name, sometimes they would see that they could do it in the search up above, but sometimes they didn't. And they'd be in the restaurant section and be like, well, I want to get to W. How come I can't get to the W's? Because it was random. With a randomizer, it wasn't in alphabetical order. It was in very, very random order. And that happened with hotels, motels, restaurants, and retail, and very, very frustrating for the end user. And so everything is in alphabetical order. We do have a featured function, so we can actually do some things that are featured if we needed. We can also do in recommendations as well, but, you know, we also have to be very careful, too, to not give preference to specific stakeholders. But I think this is going to give the end user a more positive experience because they're going to be able to find it a lot easier. And it's actually very reader-friendly as well, where I found that our current site, the font size was very small, where this size we can actually change it. And so if we're finding that if the older audience needs to have a little bit of a boost in text size, we can actually do that. With our current website, it was very, very tiny, and we're finding for a little bit of the audience that, and I'm now finding myself in that same audience where I'm like, I have to like now look in very different views through my glasses. And with our current website, I'm like, is that a 6 or is that an 8? You know, and that's something that's very alarming, because if I can't read it, think about how many of the audience that are out there that can't read it also. So I'm very excited in the fact that this also gives us an opportunity. If you were able to see the back end of this website, a lot of powerful tools that we can add on into the future. So I'm excited about it, and it's been a labor of love for the last 6 months, mm-hmm. and so I'll be very happy to finally see this be launched to the general public. And if there's ever any feedback or things that you want to address with the Bureau that you're not seeing on here, or you want to see some things change, just let us know, because we have some flexibility to be able to modify and change.
Are you going to let the Chamber know in their announcement that
yes,
that we're launching a new website,
yep.
so they can send people? And I want to yep. thank you for the language thing. I can tell you from a home with multiple languages, my Turkish family, my Thai family, my family from Mexico City, they're all going to be thrilled when they're coming to visit that they can click that on in their own language and take a look at the things to do instead of asking me to kind of figure out what the
yes.
translation would
right
be.
Now,
so I appreciate
right
that.
Now there's only the English, Spanish, and Chinese, but we're able to expand that. And so as we look at more at the analytics, we can definitely change that depending on, you know, what country is actually coming to the Bureau site.
Terrific.
But
Aaron,
it looked like you
Germans
had a question.
There.
Yes. What is the functionality with the booking engine? How's that playing out for you?
So the booking engine, we're still with JackRabbit, and so this actually allows for somebody to put in their lodging type, you know, the check-in, check-out, and then it will actually bring up, like, for example, if we're going to do a search now, it does actually take them off of the site, mm-hmm. but it, you know, and this is something that MobiManage is also working with JackRabbit on. And so it brings up the listings here. I do a random audit of this to make sure that everybody is actually linked. There are some properties that are not linked because of their booking system. Unfortunately, those who are actually with booking.com, it's not compatible with the JackRabbit system, and I'm not positive on when they're going to be changing that. One of the ideas that I want to talk to MobiManage about is that, you know, perhaps we want to do a test A and B. We want to test JackRabbit, and maybe we'll want to test the booking.com. So we might actually put a different booking engine somewhere else on the website just to do a test.
So you said it's using JackRabbit right now.
Correct. JackRabbit does the scraping technology, so it actually pulls directly from
OTA.
From your specific website.
From our website.
Yep.
Okay.
And a lot of times it'll do like an average. Their technology, it does kind of an average. Like, for example, I'm going to pick on Jane's property right now because hers is actually coming up at 115.
Mm-hmm.
But it can actually pull like a low average and kind of like a high average, and it does like what that middle ground would be.
So it's not
depending on
like
your system.
Okay, so it's not doing like the OTAs where it just draws the cheapest room rate. It's
no.
doing some sort of an algorithm.
No,
for
it usually does the average room rate.
Okay.
So the Econolodge could be $39 to $80.
Right,
and
right.
come
mm-hmm.
up with $52.
Yep.
Okay.
I want to touch back on language really quick. I'm just
yeah.
going to make a recommendation as a board member that we immediately add German, because we get a lot of German folks who travel here during these winter months. And if we go live and have that already, I think that's a benefit to
sure.
us. I know from my previous experience at the hotels that I've had. I'm not sure about going through a winter at the Embarcadero Inn yet, but at the previous hotels that I had, we were seeing a lot more Spanish from Spain, so I think the Spanish will cover that even though it's not Castilian. And we saw a lot of French and German. And French is one of those languages that, you know, you see the IOC uses it as an international language. And I would recommend, highly recommend German immediately and French phased in, if not immediately. Just my feeling.
Sure. Yeah, no.
We've also had a lot of Australian and Canadian as well. So if you could work on that, that would be helpful.
So we have to have one that says A?
Yes.
Can we get some translation?
You want to do some Canadian A?
Well, they are a tier 3 market, so I think we should respect both Australia and Canada for translation.
Yeah.
Well, definitely take a look through the link. You know, if there's, again, areas that you are seeing that you'd like to see a little bit differently, you know, just let me know. We have a lot of opportunity and a lot of flexibility with this new site, so I'm very excited. And again, it's been a definite labor of love. So, any other questions website-wise?
No.
Okay. Well, now we're going to go.
All the languages. Gracias. Thank you. All that. So, he's coming back. Let's see where we go now.
All right. Well, as you can see, that we are trying to hit a lot of the short-term goals. And different, you can actually go through this. I'm not actually going to go through too much of the information here, but the Become China Ready. I did attend the China Ready workshop in Santa Barbara. A lot of really interesting things that are happening as far as like cultural that we do want to bring here to Morro Bay. I have reached out to a company to see if they can actually do a workshop here in Morro Bay. We haven't finalized on any like dates, costs, or anything like that, but we do want to partner with the city. We want to also partner with the Chamber and the Merchants Association to bring some more training here. One of the areas that I brought to light with Visit California is that we have a lot of owner-operators. They can't exactly just shut their businesses down to go to a half-a-day training outside of Morro Bay, and so we definitely want to try to bring some of that information here. Visit California is also working on having this be where this initial training you can actually watch via YouTube and through video, but I think a lot of times there's going to be a lot of questions based off from different Morro Bay businesses, so we definitely do want to try to bring more of that training here. The Visit Slo County and Visit California partnership, some of the things that I found very interesting is that their main interest areas are sightseeing, shopping, and culinary, especially seafood and oysters, which is phenomenal for us. California is seeing 24,000 seats weekly on airlines coming in from China. There's going to be a 44% growth to the United States over the next number of years. The spend per person is estimated about $2,500. Now, that's actually very conservative because ordinarily we usually see about $4,500 per person on a spend from China. Their average stay in the United States is 9.5 nights. Again, provides us a really great opportunity as they're coming into the gateways of San Francisco, San Jose, and L.A. that we're smack dab in between those two gateways. They do want to maintain their culture, but yet they still do. They still embrace like technology and you know, different modern conveniences, but. Using both hands to present items like money, room keys, and gifts, that's very cultural. And so that's something that definitely we do want to bring some of those training techniques here into Morro Bay. The pattern right now is that they have it's a 4-2-1. It's four grandparents, two parents, and one child. And that's typically the family structure that's traveling. Now we are starting to see a little bit of a change with some of the younger demographics where they're traveling on their own. And especially since there's a lot of students that are going to school here in California. Colors definitely to use to attract is gold, red, and orange. They prefer room temperature water, no cold food. Don't put ice unless that they request it. And definitely have hot items. They usually prefer having dinner between 5:30 to 7 p.m. And the groups want to stay active. They want to stay active throughout the time. They want to see as much as they can. And union pay, this was really the biggest shock to me and the thing that I definitely want to bring back to the business community here. Union pay is their preferred form of payment. They have over 5 billion cardholders that exist in the world, and it's very much more like a debit card than a credit card. They don't do a lot of credit. They do a lot more debit. They like to pay via cash, but union pay actually outweighs both Visa and MasterCard collectively. And so that's 5 billion with a B, not a million, 5 billion cardholders in the United States. And so I would highly recommend for any businesses to look at accepting union pay. And that is one of the gentlemen that I've reached out to that can do a little bit more education on what that looks like for your specific business. But there's a lot of the Asian population groups that will actually, if you have that union pay sign in your specific business, more likely they're going to actually come into your business and they're going to spend that money. As far as meetings, not really going to go into great detail on that. You can actually go through that in the last last report that I had just sent out yesterday. As you can see, that we've been very, very busy. But a good majority of the busy that we've been working on has been on the new morrobay.org website and just all of the different Rock the Holidays, the Free Gift Fridays. You know, Aaron's been really busy getting out there and, you know, meeting with different properties and trying to bring in business here into Morro Bay. And so, again, I'm not going to go through all of that, but, you know, I always just want to make sure that we're being very transparent on who we're meeting with and what we're doing out there. So anybody have any questions? Aaron.
Here we go. Questions.
A quick union pay question as we become more China ready.
I don't. Is your mic on? Oh, okay.
Sorry. Need to lean forward better?
Yes.
Okay. As we become more China ready, would it be prudent to incorporate that into the Discover Morro Bay website?
It will be. Okay. Specifically to which businesses actually accept union pay?
Exactly. So if we get that online in our properties, we let you know,
right.
And then we can be linked in as
exactly.
A union pay member.
Exactly. Okay. No, and it's going to be very interesting to do that as a community-wide type of project, because this isn't going to be something that the Bureau is going to do on their own. We really do need to work with the city. We need to work with the chamber. We need to work with the Merchants Association. We need to be working collectively as a county, because right now we're missing a lot of the business. We're kind of the tail between two cities or two
right.
gateways, and unfortunately a lot of the traffic is basically bypassing us and going to Santa Barbara, and they're going to some of the cities that are a little bit more China-ready. So,
after that educational symposium you went to, do our current credit card vendors typically offer that option, or is this a complicated process? Do you have any
idea? As far as I know, it's not a complicated process. It's an additional
service.
It's an additional service that you would have to add on for your business. And so there are some credit card companies that UnionPay is trying to work through here in the States. And there's a gentleman, his name is Daniel. I'm drawing a blank at what his last name is, but his office is actually out of the Bay Area, and that's who we're trying to get to come down to do a little bit more training, because he's one of the UnionPay representatives. And so I believe that they can... Union Pay, don't quote me on this, but I believe through American Express, they're trying to work through American Express, and I think that there's ways in how to work through either American Express or Discover. It's one of the two. So,
five billion
cardholders. It's very interesting.
It's a lot of money. We'll figure it out.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But it's a great opportunity for us to get it figured out sooner than later.
Absolutely.
Right?
Cool. Thank you, Brent.
Any other questions?
Not from me. Anyone else have any questions? No. So thank you very much for a very in-depth report. Since we didn't cover it for a month and a half, I understand it was a little additionally lengthy. And so it's much appreciated, all the work that, amongst everything else that's been going on in our community and our tourism community, you all were able to focus in and drill down on the work that actually needs to get done and continue to keep Morro Bay's tourism economy moving forward. I think that's greatly appreciated by everyone. Anything else? Anyone? No? Okay. Yep. Great job, I'm hearing. Declaration of future agenda items. Is there anyone with a future agenda item that you'd like to declare? You can always send them forward to Michelle anyhow. It doesn't have to be declared right now, but we always have it on there.
So the only thing I didn't have on there was the event support conversation. We haven't finalized what we're doing for event support for the 16-17 fiscal year.
Right, that's unfinished business that
right,
we need
it
to
is
do.
Unfinished
we can put
business.
That on the. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And any other future agenda items? No? Okay. Board announcements? Anyone have an announcement? Aha.
I have an announcement. People in town should be noticing that the bike park on Main Street is coming along quite nicely, and I know that some landscaping is being installed this weekend. And, you know, everyone support and just support it. It's such a cool thing, and I just would like to see people out there supporting it as much as possible. Thank you.
Yeah, there's actually a community work day out there at 9 a.m. this weekend on both Saturday and Sunday. So if you have some spare time and you're interested in some community stewardship, or if you're a visitor and you're interested in some stewardship tourism, you can head down to our Morro Bay Bike Park on Main Street, right across from the highway entrance, just under the underpass, past the only streetlight on Main Street, Quintana, headed north. And the bike park will be on your right-hand side, work day at 9 a.m., both Saturday and Sunday. Many hands make light work, as they say. In terms of any other board announcements, I have just a couple. I just want to remind the board and the community that I believe it's 8 a.m. Thursday the 12th, we'll be having a Morro Bay T-Bid special meeting here, and we'll be it's the 10th. That's a Thursday, the 10th. We'll be having a Morro Bay T-Bid special meeting here, and the only thing on the agenda will be a recommendation to the city regarding the direction to go on tourism. So if you'd like to send comments to the board, you can do so through Brent at morrobay.org, and he will distribute them to us so that we don't break the Brown Act. I'd like to remind everyone that the Lighted Boat Parade is this weekend, put on by our local Rotary Club. So thank you very much, Rotary, for getting out there. There's going to be Santa Claus. And since you're kid-friendly, send the kids who are at the inn down for their hot cocoa and whatnot from Rotary and their Santa Claus and whatnot, some candy canes. And that takes place on the South T Pier, Santa Claus on the South T Pier. But the Lighted Boat Parade goes all the way down and comes back, and they make a couple of loops. They do a great job. And special thanks to community leader Kathy Novak, who, since I've lived here for 18 years, has been heavily involved with the Lighted Boat Parade and has really safely, I think, helped to navigate the boats in and out of the harbor. So much appreciated to our harbor crew and Coast Guard and everybody who helps make that happen. And lastly, nothing else? Happy holidays from Tourism Bureau. We're looking for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. All right. We are out of here. Thank you.